United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as part of the PTL club.
That is society, then we are losing. And we need to wake up and say, you know what, there's something wrong with this. And I'm sorry for those who are listening online. I forgot to turn the mics on, so you have to just catch up. I'm talking about education. Because when I look at them trying to increase minimum wage again, all it's going to do is create an inflation and create the prices of everything else to go up. Because people do not go into business to lose money. People go into business to create money and to create wealth. That's why people go into business. And I know that the CEOs of America are getting a higher rate of return on their money than those of us who are working at minimum wage and working at a regular rate and regular mid-level workers. I understand that, and I know we need to do something about that. We need to do something about the golden parachute. I understand that. I understand we need to do something about how we pay our executives. I agree with you. But what I also understand is we need to be able to wake up and smell the coffee and understand that we're going to have to change how things are done. Do we need to pay our teachers more? Absolutely. But then we need to give teachers the authority inside the classroom where they can teach the children. But we need to send their children to school prepared to learn. It's not rocket science. I mean, I just thought I'd just jump on my bandwagon because I've been sitting around all day long and last couple of days looking at stupid. And it's just been bothering me. And the more I hear about them increasing minimum wage and the more I hear about the educational attainment, like this is rocket science. It's not. But then I keep on hearing about single mothers raising their children. Well, why do we have so many single mothers raising children and we don't have family units? That should be the question. The question is, where is the family? Not why. How does a single woman raise five kids? She had to have somebody to help get those kids. Where is the daddy at? And for those of you who want me to say it properly, where is the father of these children? We're growing up in a society where we have these blended modern families that are, it's just not working, and we need to address that problem. But because we won't address that problem, all we're doing is, you know, I'm trying to find a better way to say it, you know, just blowing air in the wind. And we need to do something about it. And increasing minimum wage is not going to solve our problems. In creating bigger government, you know, yeah, I know we need to have better, we need to do better. Things are tough. But this is just insane. We have to do something about the reentry programs of America. We have to do something about our single-unit families that have one person trying to raise children. It's hard enough to raise children with two. And then raise minimum wage, so all you're going to do is create another burst of my cheeseburger at McDonald's? So now instead of it costing $4 for a cheeseburger, it's going to cost me $5, $6 for a cheeseburger now? How's that going to help me out? That doesn't solve our problems. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take my first break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The first hour is going to be open mic, and the last hour is going to be open mic, and I've got a friend coming in the middle. But I want to hear from you today. I'm talking about this because it's chapping my hide, and I don't understand how we don't have this conversation about education. How we don't have this conversation, because education is what is really fueling the fire of a lower economic system in America. 438, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy. It's
Stanley.
Good to hear your voice. It's good to hear your voice that you're back and you're healthy and everything.
No, I'm not healthy yet.
So,
I'm not healthy yet, but I'm here.
Okay,
I'm working on it, though.
Coming back to one of the comments that you said, where are the fathers and everything? I'm sorry, Tracy. Until the law becomes more equal between fathers and mothers, the Roe versus Wade thing, and equality of men having the same right as women, we're not going to get fathers. We're not going to get we're still going to keep on getting what you're getting now. Until we come to a point in our society that tells women, when you're a single mother, don't be proud about it, until we basically shame them of saying, that is nothing to be proud about. Until we tell the women, you are on your own if you make that decision. If you decide to make a kid without the father's consent, you're on your own. No more child support, no more this. If the only way you get child support is if you're married with this man. If you're not married, you're on your own, period.
I'm not faltering you. I mean, I have a problem with that. I do. I mean, even with child support, I mean, it's too easy. Divorce
exactly.
is too easy.
Exactly. It's too it's easy.
Too
so
easy.
If we don't change that, forget it. The father ain't not going to say nothing. Father feel disrespect or man feel disrespect. And they say, what should I say? They don't even kill my rights. And you're asking me to be a son, a father to a kid that I didn't want? Because I'm sorry to say, go to those single mother, ask them one question. Did the guy wanted to be a father, yes or no?
But 99%
would say no if they were honest with each other.
I got a question for you. Why is it that a woman does not have to have permission from the sperm donor before she has an abortion? But if she
because
has a child, she has to pay for it.
Because the Roe versus Wade said, my body, my choice. So the woman has the perfect choice to do whatever decision she needs to do. She could kill the kid. She could adopt the kid. She could lie about having a kid. She could do all those things, and there's no consequence. There's nobody in court that's saying, hey, this woman lied for me for 12 years. And she comes after 12 years to say, hey, here's your son. You got to pay child support. And there's nothing a man can do. Nothing.
So
and
why
so
do we allow that to happen?
Yeah, because we let it happen. Because men didn't stand up the same way as women stand up, men don't stand up. There's a lot of men who are simp. There's a lot of men who will do whatever, even if you show them the truth, will never stand up for themselves, will never say, hey, this is wrong, period.
Why not?
Ever. Because some men, just because, just to have the favor of a woman, just to have the favor, I don't want to get my woman too mad. I don't want to buckle the thing. So just to favor women and everything, I'm just going to shut up and say everything's okay. A lot of men are like that. A lot of men will not stand up. A lot of men are like that.
I agree. Let me take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm talking about education, and I'm talking about the role of family, and I'm talking about minimum wage because it all rolls us into the same thing. We have too many non-productive people pulling from the system, and we've got a lot of people who are undereducated trying to make a living on a low wage job and maintain a family, and this is not working, and the more you throw money at it, doesn't mean it's going to help it out, especially if you're not increasing the educational attainment. And when I say educational attainment, I'm not talking about getting PhDs. I'm talking about just knowing how to tie your shoe and chew gum at the same time. I'll be right back.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795. Fit Family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A Youngstown accident yesterday morning sent several people to the hospital. It happened near Cornersburg, near St. Christine's Church. Police say an SUV ran a red light, slamming into another car. It had a woman and three children inside, and they were taken to the hospital but were not seriously hurt. The 89-year-old driver of the SUV is also in the hospital in stable condition. Community Health Systems in Youngstown, the company that owns Northside Medical Center, is on track to become the country's largest for-profit hospital chain next month. CHS is working on a deal to buy Florida-based Health Management Associates. Valley nurses are upset over the change, saying the hospital needs to focus on fixing problems at its hospital instead of buying new ones. And the rescue mission of the Mahoning Valley continues to open its doors to the homeless. The group just started its cold weather emergency shelter program. The mission says it's seeing 20% more people at the shelter than last year. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and friends here on WSOM. It's 25 minutes after the hour of 12 noon. And today's the 5th of December, and it's Christmas time for me, and I like Christmas songs, so you know what I'll be playing for the next at least 20 days. I'm just glad to have Christmas coming. Sammy, it's good to have you back. Peace out. Hey, the number 347.
It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. I haven't had anybody to fight with, and today we agree this is really kind of weird. The number 347-945-5229. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. That number is 330-781-9600. Again, that number is 330-781-9600. Stanley, I agree with you, and I think Bill just told me inside the chat. He said today he agrees with you also.
That change, that will never, when you're saying where's the father, I'm sorry, that needs to change. I hope it comes to a change, because the whole single mother people, I'm hear me, single and I'm proud. I'm sorry. There's nothing to be proud about this. There's nothing to be proud. You're basically jeopardizing your kid to basically, he has more chance of going to prison because he's single. Because you're a single mom.
He has more chance
to become a criminal because you're a single mom. He has more chance with all the bad stuff that you know because he's a single mom.
But you don't hear anybody talking about that. I mean, seriously, yeah. Right now you hear them talking about minimum wage, you hear them talking about health care, you hear them talking about, you know, single parents trying to raise children on McDonald's income.
Yeah. And you should have heard yesterday, I agree with one thing that somebody said. We got to stop telling people everybody has to go to college. We got to stop with
that. That's true.
Because like one person said, yeah, let's say we have everybody, 100 people are fighting for 3 jobs.
You're great. You're right. I mean, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, I'm not going to tell everyone that they need to go to college, but they need to know how to do something. If it's nothing but to how to push a broom and how to push it right.
Yeah, and they need to know that they need to know the demands of what they are. If the demand is there, I'm sorry, 100 psychologists, we don't need 100 psychologists or 100 this, 100 lawyers, 100. And you're fighting basically, why should we choose you? Because you have a PhD or because you have a master's degree? There's 100 or 1,000 of you fighting for the same position. And the person who's hiring basically has a choice. I'm not going to choose him. I'm not going to choose it. You got to make it that you have something. Like, I agree. If you're manual, go there. Electricity, plumbery, all those things are going to be in big demand because less and less people don't want to do those jobs, but they get paid.
Hey, Alabama, your mic's on.
Hey, I agree with you guys. I think that when it comes to high school, when you're in high school, your counselor, my counselor gave me a book. It's an annual book called the Occupation Outlook Handbook, and you can find it in any bookstore. And it tells you what careers pay the most, what's the demand percentage. They got graphs, charts, everything you need to know as far as what's going to make it easy for you to get a job. I looked in that book, and that's why I do what I do now. It's not because I like it, because I'm trying to do other stuff. I don't really – what I want to do is probably not for somebody to hire me to do it. I'm going to have to do it on my own. But that's one thing. And then also, if you look at it, a lot of these parents are – if you have a single-family home, you're not going to really – you know, I hate to say this. This is going to sound bad, especially in the black community. Women are women for a reason, and I'm not saying y'all have great traits that men do not have, but when you have that man missing, there are certain things that are just going to take place that you and women don't even see it, and it winds up, that's why we're heading in the direction, because men aren't leaders in our community. They're really not. It's all led by women. Look at the church. The church is led by women.
Yeah. How is it that 70% of people in the church is women? And not even 15% are men. 70% of people, the women in church, are women. You won't
you know
see
why?
A man in church.
Do you know why?
How come?
I can
yeah,
tell you
why.
Because we have feminized the gospel because women run on emotion and men run on logic. It's easy, and we have turned church into a money-making business and not a soul-saving business. I said it.
Yeah.
Well, then also, I mean, let's be honest. A lot of people don't want to be intellectually stimulated. They want you to get up, hoop and holler, and have a good choir. And
that's
you're right. You know, we're emotional. And as long as you have a good choir, you're going to get 10,000, thousands of people coming in your church. And then as a man, you want to participate. But if you got this guy sitting up there and he's the only guy that can do it, say anything on Sunday and everybody go home, men don't want to, I'm being honest, men don't want to participate in that. And that's not right, really how it should be, if you ask me.
And you're right,
but I'm not gonna
say you're wrong because you're not. But the question
but
is
the problem with the problem I have with the pastor is the pastor's not telling them the honest truth, the single thing and everything. I never heard a pastor do a speech of single mother. I never heard a pastor say this is wrong. This has to.
Now hold on. Now wait a minute. Hold on. I got to say my pastor didn't. He got you know because you know we don't in my church we don't do formal ceremonies for children who've been born out of wedlock without a father present.
Congratulations.
No. Hold on. I think what Stanley was saying was that what you're doing is you got a lot of women out here who say, Jesus is my husband. Look, I'm a Christian.
Exactly.
But a lot of these women, they have this mentality, he doesn't meet my standards, and then they get 35, 40 years old and wonder why the guy want to talk to the 24-year-old. It's because these women, they raise their – these pastors, I hate to say it, the church is keeping a lot of them single. They don't – and they're coming with all these false rules that aren't really real. And a lot of women, you know, you got to be a provider. You got to be able to take care of me, and you need to make at least $70,000. These sisters
well,
got to wait. They done took something that ain't nowhere near in the Bible, and they just done took it and ran
now,
with
hold
it.
Hold on, Alabama. Hold on. You're going to let me finish my sentence. This is the issue. A man is supposed to be a protector and a provider. That's the bottom line. Let me finish. Hold up. But then, just because I am just a woman does not mean that I do not have a function. And you have to realize women do not function in their capacity because they don't know how to follow as well as to lead. And you know, and when I say this, when I talk about submission is a leadership position that people do not understand that is very, very powerful, and we don't do it. And because women are out of order, because women should be submissive, there is an order to the household, and a man is supposed to be the final say in that house. It's not a partnership. That causes an imbalance, and that imbalance, because, you know, today I make this as much money as you do, and so I'll tell you, well, we're in this partnership together, and if you don't like what I have to say, then you can pack up and leave my house because I own it, because I don't need you. And when you tell a man that you don't need him, you emasculate him. And when you emasculate a man, what you do is you send him off somewhere who he finds Delilah's lap, who's going to appreciate him.
But Tracy, part of the reason a lot of men aren't on the same financial footing as women is because it's easier. A woman is less intimidating. You're not, if a guy comes in and he's over 6 feet and over 200 pounds, he's going to have to play his, he's going to have to be very non-threatening. A woman can walk in and get these, black women get jobs at a higher rate than black men. Not all black men wear their pants off their butt.
But my issue is, Alabama. Listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you didn't let me finish.
No, listen.
You didn't let me finish. What I'm saying is, it's not about how much money that I make. It's not about. I don't care if you make $30,000 less than me or if you make $30,000 more than me. It really doesn't matter.
A lot of sisters care about that. A lot. And Stanley, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Am I right?
I agree with Tracy. It shouldn't be, because a man is a man. It doesn't matter if you have 30,000 or 50,000 more. That doesn't give you the right to basically bully the relationship, which a lot of women do, and just say, I'm going to be the man in the relationship, and you're basically going to be the punk.
And that's what a lot of women do,
and then the man basically, if he has a manhood and a backbone, will not accept that and say, you know what, see you. And if you have a kid with this man, he'll say, screw you and screw the kid. Screw you.
And when he does that, what he does is he leaves me to raise this man-child alone or this female child alone, and I raise them wrong because I raise them with the attitude that you don't need a man. All you need is an education, and you can take care of yourself.
Hold on.
Let me say this myth.
They got this myth that black men don't want to be fathers. Statistically, they're just like any other race. It happens in all races, but we get the stigma of being deadbeat. A lot of these mothers use these children to get back at their father. They try to hit him with as much money as they can. If the child is taken care of, it's not about taking care of the child. It's about making his life miserable. So,
yeah, it's about revenge. If I can't hurt you, it's about revenge. The only way I can hurt you, any man, I don't care, black, white, whatever, is through the kids. So I'm going to go to put you in child support, or if you don't pay your child support, there's some women I even know told me, I said, what happens? The guy can't pay. Would you rather have a father that participates in the relationship with your son, or would you put that father in the prison? And a lot of women say, put him in prison. I don't care.
Hey,
South Carolina, go ahead.
I've got a perfect example of this. I've got a friend of mine who has three kids. Him and his wife, they separated. It wasn't a pretty separation. But the way they had the arrangement was, she was not going to put him up for child support, but he was going to pay her a certain amount of money. Okay? That arrangement worked fine. It worked fine. Okay? Until he got a girlfriend. When he got a girlfriend, the whole thing changed. She went and filed for child support, and the whole thing blew up in his face, big time. He went from paying, you know, $700 to paying over $1,500 a month, you know, in child support, and it basically ruined him financially.
He shouldn't have got a girlfriend. But then women need to quit giving up the cookies for free anyhow.
You mean to tell me that you can go out and have a boyfriend and go hang out in the street, and I got to take care of my kids and everything, and then when I go and try and find some companionship, you going to bust me up?
Absolutely.
The law allows that. But trust me, if the law changed and tomorrow we would say, you're on your own, single mother, if you're married, that's different. But if you're not married and you would take bye-bye child support, a lot of women would be frightened by that.
But you know,
a lot of women will close these legs. You won't see as many cats running around with their pants off their butt. Women going to be like, dude, you got a job. And then it'll take a lot of crime. The crime rates will go down if you get rid of a lot of this stuff.
Exactly. A lot of things would change.
Most of these guys that walk around with pants off their butt are subsidized by women that's on these programs. That's where they sleep at every night.
So why is it that I am willing to take somebody into my house and take care of him and him not have a job, but yet I want somebody else to pay for it?
Because women don't want a job. They want somebody. They want a, they want the program. They want the government. They don't want no job.
No. I know folks. Wait a minute. I know folks that they got their boyfriend at home driving their car and then drive them to work, drop them off. They go to work while their boyfriend stay home.
But that's a bad choice on the woman. Why did that woman choose that boyfriend? He has no job.
I don't know. I'm trying to ask y'all. And why would
that's her problem. I don't understand those women. But that's the same woman that could present her brother.
That means one thing and one thing only. That means that man is good in bed. That's what it means.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Is that all it takes?
Good in bed. Yeah. That's the only reason I can. Yeah,
didn't you say women are emotional? Didn't you say that?
Yeah, I said that.
Okay.
So she should.
But don't
say,
you realize
hey,
that he? Don't you realize that he got somebody else on the side while she's at work?
Yeah.
Long as she don't know.
She'll tell you basically. I'd rather be with have somebody than have nobody. I heard that from a lot of women who said that. Even if he's a loser, I'd rather have him than have nobody.
So let me ask you this: do you think things would change? Even if I doubt that they'll change child support to where, you know. You won't get it. But what about if you make people account for the money that you spend? Because right now, you send me a check, and however I spend it, I spend it, no matter how much the amount is.
A lot of women would find a way to debate it. I'm sorry, what is it, Terrell Owens paying $50,000 a month for a child? And then he has to pay $60,000 for another child. Then what child is worth $60,000 or $50,000 a month?
But it goes to percentage of your income. That's a job.
What
Terrell Owens,
I mean,
you
job?
Know.
Yeah, what happens the day you lose your job because you lost the job?
They should have a limit on that. If a woman has a child by a guy that's in a professional or high income business, and they all the children are around the same age. It's all around the years, and he got them $35, $40, $50 million contracts.
Yeah.
They pounced on him. So I feel like it should be a limit on it. If he had one child and then another one, and they all born 6-7 months apart, that lets you know right there they was going. These women kill me,
Alabama,
man.
Hold on. Why didn't the man just say no? He know he ought to be. Don't he know he a target?
Yeah, women. I got friends that play in the league. Trust me, women break condoms. They do. They'll go. These. I know.
No. Just say no.
Took a condom and punctured it. Checked his condom, punctured it, and you got to try to get yourself pregnant that way.
But those are the same football players that didn't have fathers that told them the truth about that, and basically they had mother that covered them and saying to them, "Women are a good person. They would never trick you." And those are the same guys that never had a father or uncle or somebody that told them, "Hey, you got to watch out with this." Who never told them the truth with that part. Ever.
It's a vicious cycle, fellas. It's a vicious cycle.
And it becomes a vicious cycle, like you keep on saying. No father, kid with no father. A boy can never become a man without another man teaching him the truth. Ever.
That is true.
Look at Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard got, what, six, seven kids?
Now tell me, whose fault is that? Is that him? Is that the girl?
No,
come on now.
That's on Dwight. But you can't tell me that these chicks ain't thinking I'm going to get paid.
Hey, they might be thinking they're going to get paid because that's a meal ticket.
That
but he,
that's
just dumb.
Ticket. Yeah, but the
that's
real,
just dumb on his part.
Yeah, but you know you want to know who's responsible? It's the mother. The mother never brought a father or an uncle to him to basically tell him the truth to raise him as a man. Because trust me now, if he would have been raised as a man, he would have never accepted having four women, baby mama drama and everything, and coming to Dr. Phil and crying his butts off. Having four women say, well, he still has to pay the $60,000.
And all this came out of education, huh? Hold on. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Kofi. I'm going to add into this. I think that it's in the financial interest of white supremacy or powers to be.
Oh, Kofi, man, shut up.
Can I make a sentence here? It's in the best interest of them to destroy the black family. If you look back to the Willie Lynch letter, all that is in there about how to divide up the family and to put the woman in charge. Now, all that predates.
Kofi.
Even if you say the Willie Lynch letter is fake, it predates welfare. So that was
like
a are designed
by... But Kavimah, man, it doesn't apply just to black people. It applies to white people. It applies to the child support, the thing. There's white men who
this
go
is a wacky,
the same shit.
This is a
but there's... Yeah, but there's...
No,
you
I...
Cannot,
I
any, there's, if you're a man in America, good luck.
Kobe the man, I agree with you about the family, though. I do think when you start talking about the destruction of the black community, it came from the family being destroyed first. I agree. And you said predates welfare, but welfare was one of the big catalysts for it. I agree.
No doubt.
But
yeah, I agree with that part.
I think
women,
the law is legal system is set up for women to benefit in ways women can get. Man, it's a woman. All she just say you raped, and your life is ruined, man. Like
exactly.
It's so much
then,
women
then
can do.
Somebody got then a white dude got 25 years of prison because just a woman said he made it, and basically they're gonna tonight go to CNN. There's gonna be a show about this. 25 years of my life it took out, and finally the woman said I lied. Sorry, I made a mistake.
Ooh. They didn't even go to jail. They don't do nothing to these women.
Ooh.
You took 25 years of a man because a woman said you raped me. Can you imagine the power you have as a woman? You just have to tell me that I raped you and I'm done.
You ain't gotta say rape. All you gotta do is say he hit her. And
yeah.
The police showing up, let me tell you something. My dad got hemmed up. He was fooling with a chick some years ago. You know him and my mom been divorced. That chick said he hit her. He didn't even touch her. That chick said the police came up in their dad in his house. They wolfing off at him. My dad was 60-something. They roughed him up. 60 years old. You grabbing a 60-year-old man in his own house with a visitor. His name on the lease. He said he wanted her to leave. But the cop said he offended him. Of course, they dropped. They had no charges on him. But I'm just saying, this is the type of system. You show up in and most of the calls are going to be domestic violence calls anyway. So, and there's another kid out in California that was a blue-chip All-American football, like All-American football, four-star running back, supposedly going to USC. Chick said he raped her. That boy did about 5-6 years. He got out on tape. Oh, he taped her on a phone call saying, I'm sorry, I know you didn't do it. You know what a rapist goes through when they go to prison?
Let me ask you this. I brought this up because I talked about the erosion of family and lack of education. Look at what we're doing here. Look at what we're saying here. And then how do you equate money to this? Because right now they're demanding that you pay more, even if I don't do more. And what do you think that does to our society as a whole?
There has to be a blowback to all the inequality. There's no way this could just persist to expand and bloom the way it is, and that the middle class is being erased and eradicated and the poor is being locked up and thrown out on the street. There's no way that people, common sense, will just tell you the people are not going to sit down and take this very much longer.
Yeah.
But don't you think I'm responsible for my education and the education of my child? And the only way that I can get a good education is if my father is in the house, because that's the only way that I'm going to get the real discipline that I need to sit there
and learn something. Whether your father is in the house, the Emmett Till have a bad father. He ended up saying, "When it doesn't matter, it's a war against poor people, minority people
huh?
not in power. It's a war against these people. There's death every day. People being locked up every day." Homeless people every day. This can't just persist to just go on like this forever without the people and sometimes getting up and saying, hey, wait a minute, this ain't right. Right now people are standing up. They're doing peacefully asking
this
for
is, but what
I
I'm
need
saying
help.
Is
peacefully.
But this
That's
my question is, Kavimah man, how do I eradicate people in poverty if I'm not willing to get an education and all I'm doing is eroding the family?
Well, you got people coming out of college. Oh, you got people coming out of college with degrees, and they can't get a job.
You don't have.
Those people
listen,
around, I'm
listen.
Saying, but those people sitting around that doesn't apply to what you're saying. I'm saying that the people.
Majority of people who are coming out of college not getting an education, they may. You have to ask them what their degree is in. It's bigger than that. You don't. You're not
just,
walking
okay,
out of.
Okay.
You're not. No, Kavimah man. You're not walking out of McDonald's. Out of college with a degree in engineering and working at McDonald's for 6 months to a year and can't find a job. That's just not how it works.
You got black people with masters and PhDs that can't get jobs.
And again, the question is, have they assimilated with society?
It's not going to. I'm just saying they're going to take your answer for just so long.
Why would a person not go into the Occupation Outlook handbook and see, oh, guys graduate with degrees in so and so, they, it takes them 2 years to get a job on average. Why would I major in that? I think you do have to take it, your own responsibility, because I wasn't a 4.0 student coming out of college and I got a job.
I understand you, man. I'm just saying that what you're giving me is regurgitated rhetoric. That can only last.
It's not rhetoric, dude. Like, if you got to know where the market is. There were people that were smarter than me that stayed in certain markets, and it took them longer to get a job. But then I go to a certain market like in Atlanta. You got to take on your own responsibility.
Hold on. Come be the man in Alabama. Let me put it to you this way.
Go ahead.
This might be a white man's world, which means you got to go by the white man's rules, bottom line. And if you think you're going to change the white man's rules from the outside, that's not going to happen. So there's one thing that you know that you cannot do. You cannot go into society and think you're going to change the rules from the outside in. You got to be on the inside to do it. And our problem is we think society is supposed to jump hoops to change for us when we need to go and change for it and then change it when we're there.
I don't think anybody black who lived through their lifetime in America would believe that you're gonna do anything like what you just said. Black people are the most pessimistic about what the heck is gonna happen in this country.
Are you serious?
There's no way black folks do not believe in that answer.
But Tracy, the only problem I see is we don't have enough black business to basically say, let's keep it to our own. I'm sorry. Black business, if a black business come out, who's going to be the ones who's going to be more fighting to close that business? Us as black. We don't unite us together and say, look, I'm going to take my money instead of getting those hair at an Asian person. Let me encourage a black business of opening the same type of stew of hair. You will never see that black people staying together like they used to and say, let me put my money to a black business and believe in him and let him hire some black people. If we're going to
Stanley, I agree with you. I have a friend that owns a beauty supply store. The Koreans won't sell him stuff. But I told him, look, man, you have to invest. If you're going to go in business, you need to invest in some plane tickets to India. You need to get your own connections. Go around these people because they're not selling you Korean hair. They're selling you somebody else's hair. So they're nothing but middlemen, just like you can cut them out. So I do think you got to have that Frank Lucas mentality about it, like just skip it and cut everybody out. But, my thing about education, man, when you look at it, I went to a black high school that was supposed to be in a bad school, got out with a very 1.9 GPA, wasn't supposed to go to college. It's all about what you make out of it, man. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that. There aren't forces out there working against us, but this is the wealthiest place on the planet, and we as blacks, we are the wealthiest people of color on this planet, and I think if we go out and work with what we have, like at the University of Alabama, they were crying about not being included into some white fraternities and sororities. I say, screw them. Get your own. Do what you want. We got to be our own. We got to take care of ourselves.
Exactly.
We need to stop looking for other people to help us because it's not coming. It's coming to the Hispanics now. It's not coming to blacks. It's coming to gays, but it ain't coming to blacks because we're a test tool for whatever they want to try to inflict on the rest of society. We got to step out of that.
You're right on. You're right on about that. Okay, let me add on to that before y'all jump in. Black folks do have one thing that black folks do buy into that nobody else buy into. We buy into the American dream. We buy into everybody, brotherhood, everybody going to get along, everybody is equal, one nation under God. We're the only people that believe in that. Nobody else believe in that.
I think Covina Man is right, because you got a lot of black folks complaining because some white group or organization won't include them. I say the hell with them.
Wait a minute, hold it. That's not true. That's not true.
Let me finish.
You're incorrect.
Because you're disagreeing.
Covina man, I'm not going. Because you're not.
Yeah.
No. Because there's a fallacy. No.
Okay.
White people always complaining about segregation. We always complain. I don't care about you being segregated. They always. But we the first ones screaming. They won't let us in. We always screaming about it.
But we don't do something as black people together to build something to have those black businesses. What
we
happened?
Don't even
how come we don't have...
Hold on, guys. Guys, listen to this. Listen,
I had a
listen,
good point
listen,
to
listen.
Make, Tracy.
The whole city of Detroit is black. But you can't get, you don't own nothing. Youngstown City, you get 55% is black. But you don't own nothing, don't control nothing, don't do anything to make it better. You got majority of African Americans on your city council, on your school boards, and you're still at the bottom of the barrel. Come on, y'all.
Hold on, there are some differences.
Let me make my point.
This is not white supremacy.
Let me make my point. Then you can tell me if you disagree with the point. Let me make it. I'm trying to say that what you had in black society is you had people out here, the Martin Luther Kings of the world, and everybody that surrounds them, who believe and preach in brotherhood and everybody get along and racial unity and all this stuff and race
integration
and all that stuff is black. Integration, all races on one. You have never seen or in your lifetime a Korean talk about that, a Hispanic talk about that, a Polish person talk about that, a Jewish person talk about that. You never heard nobody else talk about no damn unity as ever black people. We're the only ones that believe in that shit.
That's not true.
I'm saying we're the only ones
that's not true. The difference between them and us is that they have the playbook that we wrote, and they're using it, and we're sitting on the sideline waiting for somebody to give us something because we don't want to work for it. That's the problem.
And Jewish people or Korean will work together as Korean and basically support another Korean business to help it build, but us black people will crash another business. Oh, you have a black business?
Right, exactly.
I must have – how many black people you tell them has expertise, and then another black man says, you really? Do you have to make me pay for this? Really? Oh, please, man. I own a comedy club,
and I couldn't get black people to give me $10. I had
exactly.
other club
Can you
owners
imagine?
Saying, hey – we're going to run him out of business. Going around, people don't even know. I'm like, dude, why, what are you, just because I'm doing something different and you got a regular club, you want to try to run me out of business. You don't like me. You look at, I see you, you mean mugging me. We got a crab mentality. Let's just admit it.
But when it comes down to the unit of the family, we have the same mentality. I'm not going to blame somebody else for this today. We have a past, and yes, we have a lot of issues in our past that has caused us to become the way that we are. But I need to stand up on my own laurels and take advantage of what's in front of me, because right now no one's coming to save me. And right now you got the gays, you got the Asians, you got the Hispanic, all of them are using the civil rights playbook in my behalf. And I'm sitting on the sidelines trying to figure out how you going to give me something else. I wonder why I'm not getting ahead.
They're not going to the civil rights playbook. I'm trying to tell you, that's not what they're doing. Because what they did, if you let me finish my point, you'll go to a black neighbor, like you mentioned the Detroit or wherever it is, the Youngstown, I don't know what cities you mentioned, but you mentioned any kind of black USA. You just pick a place, right? You go there and you'll see a Asian donut shop. You'll see an Arab guy come in and put up a 7-Eleven or a gas station. You'll see the Jewish people come in and put a bank. The clothing store, the cleaners, they all come into the black community and set up. Black folks are the most accepting of anybody else, whether for bad or for good. We just accept people just coming to the neighborhood and just setting up. We'll be the first one lined up to get a Chinese food. But you take that same black person and walk him down the street of any Chinatown, white town, Poland town, South Miami, and the police will be all over him, arresting him for walking while black.
Look, I know a guy that opened up a hookah spot. And them white people in that neighborhood called the city. They was at the city council in Groves. He didn't get his liquor license. He didn't sign a 3-year lease. He up there with a place, can't even sell liquor. Black dude, he trying to sell liquor, can't sell liquor. They got lined up. And they call the police every other day. The police come knocking on the door, music. He's like hundreds of yards away. You can't even hear the music 30 feet away.
Alabama. Okay, now let's be real about this. Let's be really real about this. Because I got to go and take a break, and I got somebody else coming in. Do we really want to be honest about this? Have you seen the black community
and where we are. Do you realize that in the past, when they've given us liquor license, what we've done?
Let me make a point. Every black person that opens up a business is not going, yeah, you got those one or two clubs with
come
folks killing
now.
And stabbing.
Come on now. I don't know about where y'all live, but I know in my neck of the woods, we've had a couple places, and one thing go down, and we try to burn down the whole neighborhood. And it was a nice place, and we destroyed it from the inside out.
We act like straight monkeys when we get a place and you put some rap, some hip-hop on and start selling liquor. We finna fight.
See what I'm saying?
It is what it is, man.
So you want to move to my neighborhood where it's nice and quiet in the middle of the night, and I didn't see what you did to your neighborhood, and do the same thing to my neighborhood? People looking at you like, we can't do that. I got to go.
But, Tracy, see, I'm going to tell you, you're making a point, and then you're leaving. This is the point right here. Every black person that opens a business where you have music and alcohol is not going to kill. It's not going to be like that. I owned the club. I never had one incident with the cops. But I had people, I had dude coming there arguing, screaming at me, didn't even know me. I'm going to tell you now. You have all this up in here. This is a black dude. Came in my business screaming at me, didn't know anything. I hadn't had any incidents. It was a comedy club. We didn't have a dance floor. People come in and sit down and eat and enjoy the show and go home. But I had so much negativity from my own people, as well as the white people, as well as Asian, because they didn't like it. Because I bought an actual old Asian business and turned it into a comedy club. They didn't like that.
But you're getting the same static from Tracy that you're getting walking the street. The people walking in, you're getting the same attitude. Tracy is telling you because you're black, you shouldn't have no business. And then she's going to turn around and ask Detroit, why don't you own something? Because you got
I'm going to tell you what's funny. I bet you in a lot of these cities, though, Covina, in a lot of these cities, it ain't black folks that own a lot of them. If we got a Jewish guy that owned the club. This dude was making, from what I hear, on First Friday, every Friday, this dude is called Celebrations. Man, this dude was making $50,000 a night. He's sitting, he's never there. He got cameras watching everything. He'll call the manager and tell people what to do. And it was full of black people and white. But he was making a killing. Did you have some fight?
That's how people like Tracy want it. They want it like that. They don't want you to have a business. They want the other people to have a business. And then they want you. Then they complain that you live in a city you don't own nothing. See, these women.
I honestly feel that way. I feel that way, too. I do. I ain't going to lie to you. I kind of feel like when it comes down to it, I ain't saying about Tracy, but I'm just saying as far as when it comes to business and trying to own something in the community, if we don't own what's right next to us, we'll never be respected, ever. Like, come from Africa and shake their head when they look at us. As if it's our fault. As if we just don't want to start businesses. As if we know it's hard to get the resources, and when you do, then you got to succeed and deal with the let me tell you something. I've thrown concerts. I've done a lot of stuff. Black people are some of the biggest enemies you're going to have.
They don't want you to
Man, I threw a concert in the city, man. People were calling people, talking about he wasn't coming. The Plies ain't coming. He ain't the rap show. He ain't coming. They just lying. They going to take y'all money. I mean, people just ain't have nothing to do with it but call and lie and call up on a radio show and say I'm lying. And I done had this man do a voice drop on my commercial. I got him on the commercial saying he coming, and they still talking about he ain't coming. That's our people.
Yeah. Somebody was trying to say hello. I don't know who that was.
Who that, Michigan?
Oh, yeah, that's me. Listen, you know, I think it was Covino, man.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at, you know, everything that we're describing, if you look at the history of the black community, everything that we're saying we can't do, we've already done. Now, yeah. So there's no such thing as no black-owned businesses or no black middle class. All of this we've done. Now, I mean, you guys, well, I don't want to say you guys, but we don't want to face it. You're talking about, we're at war, man.
Absolutely.
This is a straight-out war, man.
It's always been a war.
And
the war never ended.
And it's always been a war. That's right. It's never ended. Now, if you look at there's something that we don't look at it. To me, that's worse than chattel slavery. And that's the dismantling of the black community. And you can look back in the 1800s. We ain't even got to talk about, you know,
that's
the civil rights.
Of
that's
the
right.
Slavery, man. Go ahead.
Correct. Now, if you look at some of the black-owned businesses that started local and that had moved out into regional, you're talking about black banks, insurance companies. Now, when you dismantle,
let me make it.
That's right.
Go ahead.
When you dismantle that, think about
yes,
this.
Sir.
Think about how many generations of entrepreneurs you've killed.
I'm going to say something, though, Michigan. If you look at the whole Tulsa riot thing, those people ain't got paid yet. They should have been. Them folks should have got millions of dollars. Them folks was wealthy. A lot of them black folks was wealthy, well-to-do people. And they ain't gave them folks 50 cents.
When you look at the rate of how those black entrepreneurs were expanding regionally, nationally, it's no different from what a European company do. They all start local and they end up global. But if you dismantle the black community at an early age and then now look at it now and say, man, y'all full of it. Y'all some kids. Y'all can't do nothing. Man, that's a game. And we fall for the okey-doke. I said this before on this show. The best of the black community you've already saw. Now, people disagree with that, but you can't prove it wrong. Now, Tracy mentioned something like Detroit. Whoever, you want to know who owns the city, has nothing to do with the number of the population. It's whoever owns the industry.
Exactly.
To me, Tracy is ahistorical. None of her perspectives have any historical background information in them. When
white folks owned the industry in Detroit.
Not black.
Right.
And you look at any.
No, that's what she was saying. She was saying that it's not black owned.
No, she's saying now Detroit is all black and you don't own nothing. Well, all black meaning that you have a black population, but none of the industry that is owned by black people. Now, if you want to know why none of the industry is owned by black people, you can't just say black folk are dumb.
That's a crazy description that many foreigners come, many Africans, which I think is stupid, come over here and think they better and turn their nose up at black folks, not realizing what all we done been through over here and tried in the history to get certain things. And I agree, if you had left those people alone, where would they be today?
Bingo. Now, somebody give me an argument against that.
I can't.
If black folk would have been left alone, where would we be at?
That's what Frederick Douglass was saying. That's what Frederick Douglass was saying when he said, leave us alone.
How many black global corporations would it be now if we'd have been left alone?
Because we've been here longer than two-thirds of whites and everybody else. It's only us and the Indians. Actually, if you want
to
go back, we've probably been here for Indians. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a game this culture runs on black folk. Man, y'all silly. Man, y'all don't support each other. Let me make one more point, man. When you're living in a functional culture, you know, say, white folks stick together. White folk are the most envious, the most jealous, the most cutthroat people on the face of the earth. You know why they are able to survive? Because they live in a functional culture. For instance, if a white person falls out with a bank and he says, I'm pulling my millions out of here. Well, if he go right down the street, that's his uncle's bank. Or if the next bank he goes to, it's going to be white owned. So they don't have to have a race-based consciousness. If they stop shopping at one Walmart because they get pissed off, well, if they go to Myers, it's white owned. But see, blacks, we can't do that. We have to have a race-based consciousness. Because you're not going to, you're black folk. Man, I'm not going to that black store no more. Well, you're cutting the throat of your own community when you do that.
Yeah. That's why I don't have no problem with segregation. That's why I'm not so against segregation.
White folk don't have to walk out of their house and say, I'm going to go buy a pack of hot dogs from a white-owned store. Because 9 out of the 10 stores that they walk into will be white-owned. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to consciously go to a white-owned store.
And we always think they have it. They have the better stuff. So that's how we've been taught.
This is a European culture.
Look how bad McDonald's is.
I
know we all have been to a bad McDonald's.
hell. This is a European culture. It always has been, and it always will be. Ain't no such thing as no American culture. This is an expansion of the European culture. And
yeah,
we gotta, we can keep playing these games with ourselves, man, but the joke is on us.
It is.
Shoot, Michigan, ain't the only thing nobody on the phone disagree with you. Who disagrees
with
you?
I'm just talking in here. Yeah, the joke is on us.
Well, I'm back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 8 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. And for those of you who are in the chat room, you guys are gonna have to either hold on for an hour and talk to us about the Humane Society of Columbiana County, or give me a call back, because we're going to change topics completely. Don't you guys love me? Say you love me, guys.
Hello?
Hi.
As always, Tracy. Hi.
How you doing, honey?
I'm doing good. This is Lisa. How are you?
Doing well, Lisa. How are you?
You ain't got to say your name, Lisa. Everybody know you. Everybody know your voice.
Oh, Alabama. You know, I just wanted to say I caught the tail end, and it is all about respect, because I see it out here in California that black people are not as respected as other people. I
hey,
see
guys,
it.
Guys,
automatically,
Lisa. Did you miss what I said? I got a guest in the studio. We can really talk about puppies.
Oh, okay then. Well, I'll call back after the puppies.
Call back at 2 o'clock. We'll go
all
back
right,
to the conversation.
I'll do my best.
What'd you say, Jenny?
I said sorry, Lisa.
No, that's okay. You know. You guys
stay tuned.
I've got a friend in the studio with me. Her name is Mrs. Jenny Pike.
Hey, Trace, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
And she is from the Humane Society of Columbiana County. And I want her to tell us a little bit about who she is and what she is. And I know we're going to change topics and change gears, but that's what we do here because it's Tracy and Friends, and we have friends in all walks of life.
That's right.
And she's down in Columbiana County, and you've done something that's really, I am very, very proud of.
Well, thank you.
You saw a need. And you said, you know, we have puppies and we have cats. And you don't just deal with puppies and cats, you deal with horses and animals.
Right, and we deal with people. You know, animal abuse isn't an animal problem.
Yeah.
It's a people problem, you know. So, yeah, we deal with humans.
And you said there's a we don't have something here, and you stepped up to the plate and began to swing.
Yes.
So tell us a little about the Humane Society of Columbiana County.
Okay, well, the Humane Society of Columbiana County is just what it sounds like. We're a humane society. We're located in Salem. We have a little shelter there. And
A little shelter.
Used
how
to
many
be,
square feet is this little shelter?
Oh, boy, you know what? It might be 4,000,
okay.
But it was a veterinarian clinic.
Okay.
So we just took it. The veterinarian had a residence upstairs, so we just converted those rooms into cat rooms and utilized the veterinarian kennel space for the dogs, but we just have moved into every square inch of that and do what we can in that building. So it's kind of hard to conceptualize, but it works well. I mean, it's small. We have a greater need, but we deal with what we have.
Jenny, how did you get to this point? I mean, I love dogs. Everybody knows I love my baby.
Yeah.
But how? I mean, you took on this is a monumental task.
Well, I started out. Someone said, do you want to be on the board? And that's how it started. I ended up being president of the board, and then I have a wonderful team. It's not just me, and I wear a T-shirt that says, you know, Team HSCC, together everybody achieves more. So we have good people working for us and with us and volunteers. So anyway, we went and we purchased this veterinarian's clinic. So we have humane agents that go out and help the community when there is a concern about an animal who isn't being properly cared for. So they go out into the community and try and educate. Then, you know, if necessary, the animal may come back to our shelter. So I just, you know, I'm kind of an achiever. I try to make life better. And so by working with the public and with the volunteers and the staff that we have, we are providing a service to our community, you know. It just happens to be dealing specifically with animals,
you know. What does the Humane Society do? Because, I mean, Youngstown's dog warden versus,
right.
What is the difference?
That's a very good question, and it's very confusing. The dog warden actually is, at least in Columbiana County, they are taxpayer-funded. Okay, so the government, the county government, actually pays for the dog warden. According to the Ohio Revised Code, dogs who run at large, they can damage livestock. If livestock are damaged, then the county government has to reimburse for that livestock. Therefore, you know, you don't want dogs running at large. Thus, we have a dog warden in order to keep those dogs from running at large. I tell people, if cats damaged a livestock, we'd have a cat warden,
okay.
You know, because, but, so the Humane Society, what we do, we have the humane agents that investigate concerns of animal cruelty, abuse, and neglect. Now, the dog warden also has that ability, but that's specifically what we do. But we operate by donations. So we fill a need and we fill a void.
Now, what's the difference between ASPCA? And
that,
and cause the reason I'm asking, because we know we see these things on TV.
Right.
And we see all these pictures of the dogs and it, with the sad music playing behind it,
right.
Sending money. What's the difference?
Well, there really isn't really any difference.
Okay.
I mean,
one's just local and one's national.
That is correct. And, for example, more confusion exists with the Humane Society of the United States. People think we're sort of a satellite and that we get money from them, that we operate with them, but we are not. We are our own little organization that began in Salem, in Columbiana County, and if we apply for a grant from a national organization, we get that, but we don't share their donations, et cetera. So ASPCA is just a little humane society that got big.
And so what do you do? What is humane? What does that mean?
I'm president of the board, and
okay.
I'm also a volunteer. The Humane Society, the bylaws basically say, you know, that we're out there educating the public to spay and neuter their pets, which is a huge problem as well. And we investigate, we sponsor a humane agent that investigates concerns of cruelty, abuse, and neglect according to the Ohio Revised Code. The Ohio Revised Code allows for there to be a humane agent in every county. It just so happens the Humane Society of Columbiana County is the one who has those humane agents in Columbiana County. In other counties, perhaps the dog warden has the humane agent, or the county has their own humane agent. But our little charitable organization sponsors that humane agent, who is sworn in by the probate judge.
Okay.
Okay.
And so now, when I when you say the humane, what do you guys? I mean, you educate, you talk about spay and neuter. I
right.
mean, why should?
Let me give you a case. Let me give
yeah.
you a case, an example. Okay. Let's say you're driving to work every day, and
mm-hmm.
you see a dog on a chain, and you're like, you know, I don't think that dog, it's cold outside, there's a hole in its roof, the dog looks skinny, any number of situations, okay? You call, you leave a message with the Humane Society, and you say, here's the address, I'm concerned about this, can you go take a look? So our humane agent will go and has a right to go and ask to see that animal, look at the conditions, and we'll suggest certain remedies to those conditions.
Okay.
Okay. Most of the time, people really do want to do the right thing by their pets, and so they will make those accommodations to improve the conditions of for the pet. And those conditions are very basic conditions like shelter and water and food. Okay. That's set by the Ohio Revised Code. All right. So if they comply, then everybody's happy, and you're happy because you drive by every day, and now it's like, you know what, I feel better. There's straw, you know, in that dog box. So that is one case scenario. Another case scenario is we get a call, and someone is physically abusing an animal in front of their eyes. Okay, so in that case, we also go and investigate. And this is a public case that took place in our county. Once we investigated, the humane agents went out and investigated, they found multitudes of animals that were not being cared for, including goats and chickens, and it was deplorable. So they intervened. They also prosecuted this individual. This individual had, you know, had some issues. So by working through us, he got what he needed, which was probably some therapy and some counseling as well. You know, so it's a very big societal problem, Tracy.
I got to go back. I'm going to take this in bits and pieces because I'm going to start with spaying and neutering.
Okay. Yeah, it's a big topic. It is.
Because, you know, I'm a Bob Barker fan.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, his tagline was don't forget to spay and neuter your cat and dog.
That is right.
But, you know, last year my neighbor got a cat.
Uh-huh.
Or the cat found us.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we're pet people, so we feed the cat.
Uh-huh.
And she really was a beautiful cat. And we named the cat, and we fed the cat, cat had a place to live, and underneath, let the cat go in the garage, and the cat got pregnant.
Yeah.
And the cat had kittens.
Uh-huh.
And so we fed the kittens. And so we loved the cat, and the cat had kittens, and the kittens had kittens. And next thing you know, you have kittens.
Exactly.
And so I went out to Angels,
uh-huh.
and I said, hey, we got a problem here.
Right.
I'm not trying to populate the world with cats.
Right.
And I think we took out 13 cats because we never – but how do you afford to – you know, that's
– That is it. And what happens to people – whether it's cats or dogs, they won't spay and neuter. So all of a sudden they're overpopulated in their home. They can't care for all of them properly. But yet they have a misconception. We're fortunate in our county. Our dog pound is no kill. So, you know, if you take your dog to the pound, there's a very good chance that dog's going to get a good home or get to a rescue. But they don't want to do that. So, again, they can't afford to spay and neuter, so the problem just it just increases. So we try to help them downsize or, you know, help them to get spay and neuter, but we don't really have the funds, you know, to pay for
because
that.
It's so costly.
It is.
It's costly. I mean, it's $40.
It is. And it's less costly than if you have all of a sudden 40 cats.
Yeah.
And what do you do, you know? And then your neighbors get mad because the cats don't always use a litter box,
that's
you know,
true.
And they do what animals do.
Cat urine is bad.
Oh, boy, it is bad.
216, your mic is on. Hello?
Hello there.
Hey. Well, they pushed the button. Okay. Well, if you want to talk, your mic is up. In South Carolina, your mic is on also. So what do you do about that? I mean, because when I found out, and I'm asking you from a point of education now, they said,
right.
Well, Tracy, all you were doing was feeding the cat enough so that they can go breed.
Yes. And unfortunately, because we are limited by finances, generally what we can do is give them options, and we tell them about Angels, because Angels does have a great rate, and they get grants and can help with a low-cost spay and neuter, which is wonderful. We also can give a voucher to a local veterinarian who will cut their fee a little bit.
Okay.
So we give them options. Sadly, nobody's going to take that problem off of their hands. You know, there's Westside Cats or you know, there are different organizations, but most of the time they're very full anyway. So
now when you say dogs.
Yes.
A lot of people say, well, you should allow every dog to have the first litter.
I don't know
saying,
where that
I don't
comes
know where it comes
from.
You hear that.
Yeah, no. I mean, you can spay and neuter a dog very young, you know, and it's healthier for them, actually, because it prevents them from getting different varieties of cancer, mammary cancer, testicular cancer, that type of thing. So that's really an old wives' tale. I think even there maybe are some vets that maybe still won't do it until they're 6 months old, but that's very rare. So, you know, and a kitten, I think they just have to be 2 pounds.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. So, you know, dogs, I think, are 8 weeks. So it can be done very early. And for heaven's sakes, ask. You know, ask your veterinarian, ask somebody. But no, don't let them have the first litter. My goodness, there are way too many animals out there, you know.
No,
and
I've got these special dogs. Oh, come on, Emma. We got these special dogs. We have special dogs.
This is true.
And you have to let them, I mean, and we breed these
and
dogs.
And I want to have a dog just like my last dog. I want to clone it, that type of thing.
Right.
Well,
And I've got to ask you, because that's how people think, and you know, I'm not going to, how can I neuter or spay this dog, because I've got to go and breed this dog, because.
Exactly. And there are some people you're just not going to get through to. But we get through to as many as we possibly can. People at this time of year especially will take, if you have a dog that's free to a good home, or worse yet, people will go and steal a designer breed or a small dog breed, a highly desirable breed, out of your yard, out of your car. And if that dog isn't spayed, in a female's case, they will breed her to get more dogs.
Are you
to
serious?
Sell them. Yes, it's, you know, it's a business. It is a business. So backyard breeding is a way for people to supplement their income, you know. And we also have run into cases where someone starts by breeding a certain breed, and then, okay, their litter is six puppies, but they only can get rid of three. So now they have three more dogs, and they breed again. And so they end up, you know, in an overpopulation position. So it's really, spay and neuter is so fundamental and so basic to controlling so many, you know, of the problems. And you think of the money that is spent by organizations like us, by governmental entities, paying for population control of dogs and cats. It's, you know, I'd love to be able to spend our money on something else, you know, the donors' money. I said, you know, mandatory spay-neuter means that you, in your community, require your citizens to spay and neuter their pets. It's done in certain communities around the country, but not enough.
Well, let me ask this. In Mahoning County, we have dog license.
Mm-hmm.
So why isn't that if your dog is spayed or neutered, it's $20, and if it's not, it's $100?
That is correct, and that is what differential licensing is.
I mean, that's not a bad idea.
That's right, and then what they do is, and we pitched it a few years ago to our county commissioners, and so if you pay $12 for your license for your spayed and neutered animal,
right.
Then you would pay $20 for an unneutered or unspayed animal. Now, there are exceptions. If that medically is impossible, it would hurt the dog. If you are a hunter, if you have a hunting license, it's exempt. And if you
are... What does hunting license have to do with this?
Well, because there's a theory that the dogs hunt better if they're intact.
Okay.
Okay, so it has, you know, it's something to do with that. But, and then the other situation would it be if you are a legitimate breeder. So, and then the differential is pooled to help those who can't afford to spay and neuter. How wonderful is that?
If I want to volunteer,
mm-hmm.
who do I call?
You would call our phone number, which is 330-332-8622 or 330-332-2600, and you can fill out a volunteer application, and you can do all kinds of things. We'll talk about the Animal Resource Complex, which is
okay.
really...
Yeah, because I got friends all over Facebook telling me I need to go walk a dog, and I don't walk my own dog.
There you go.
So,
we can talk about
and all that kind of stuff.
All
volunteering.
That. Mm-hmm.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. 216, your mic is on. Did you want to chime in? Hello? South Carolina? Okay, I'm taking my break. I'll be right back.
Signature Holiday Beverages are here to share joy with one and all. Put a Starbucks handcrafted peppermint mocha, caramel brulee, latte, or gingerbread latte on your holiday to-do list to make all your holiday errands a little more joyful. Get your favorite flavor of the season at Starbucks today.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A Youngstown accident yesterday morning sent several people to the hospital. It happened near Cornersburg, near St. Christine's Church. Police say an SUV ran a red light, slamming into another car. It had a woman and three children inside, and they were taken to the hospital but were not seriously hurt. The 89-year-old driver of the SUV is also in the hospital in stable condition. Community Health Systems in Youngstown, the company that owns Northside Medical Center, is on track to become the country's largest for-profit hospital chain next month. CHS is working on a deal to buy Florida-based Health Management Associates. Valley nurses are upset over the change, saying the hospital needs to focus on fixing problems at its hospitals instead of buying new ones. And the rescue mission of the Mahoning Valley continues to open its doors to the homeless. The group just started its cold weather emergency shelter program. The mission says it's seeing 20% more people at the shelter than last year. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
February 1st. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster, the venue box office, or by phone. Don't miss the hit, the number one song, Elton John with his band.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And the number is 347-945-5229. It's 32 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock here on the 5th of December 2013. The weather outside is really crazy. Jenny, when you came in, was it still raining?
Just drizzling, but oh, it's just balmy. It is balmy like May.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I came out, when I came in, it was pouring buckets of water.
Yeah, no, it didn't rain on the way up either, so, yeah, it's just kind of misty.
What is this month, December weather?
Wait till tomorrow, it will be.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's what they say.
They don't know.
Yeah, that, you know what, that's another point now that we're talking about pets. When the when the ice and snow come,
yeah,
you can't just put, you know, regular old salt out. That's hard on the paws of pets.
That's what I heard.
Yes.
You
so
gotta put special salt.
Paw salt. Uh-huh. Or use some sort of, you know, homemade remedy in order to eliminate or to prevent the ice would be better, you know. But yeah, that's hard on their paws. Dries them out.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
never know what you're going to learn here.
Geez,
huh?
Oh, man.
I know. We're going to whip you into shape.
I'm not doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and I told you during the break that I would have to bring this up. It is Christmas season, and we go out and buy people go out and buy dogs.
Right.
We all go out and we go to the shelter. Can I come to your? Can I adopt a pet at your place?
You sure can. Yes. We require you to fill out an application, and then you come and kind of look around and do a meet and greet with your dog. And if you have another pet at home, a dog at home, we'd like you to bring that dog with you because you know that's gonna be a relationship. So yeah, you can do that.
Okay.
And you can get online and on our website and take a look at what we have available for adoption.
What's your website?
It is www.columbianahumane.org. And we're on Facebook. Facebook is so wonderful to update easily, and you can find out all about a lot of our adoptables, about all our events. We always have something going on. There was our rigatoni for rescue. Check out that
post. Was nice.
That was. It was very well attended at the Steel Trolley Diner in Lisbon.
Oh, wow.
And did you see that we had rigatoni with either it was a neutered portion or you could have meatballs.
Oh, geez, oh man.
Little play on words there. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, our shelter is just located just outside Salem on Route 45, and we're open 7 days a week, part of every day. So we're getting to that time of year where, yeah, people do want.
You kennel dogs?
We don't. We don't. Someday we hope to be able to do all of that, but we don't. At our animal resource complex, though, you can kind of bring your dog and get it some exercise inside, and we'll talk about that. So that's pretty cool.
Tell me about that.
Well, the animal resource complex, what we did was take a building that's just around the corner from us, and it's 6,000 square feet. It was a warehouse. We put down rubber flooring, and basically you can come and walk your own dog there. We have what's called Poochie Playtime, which gives you an opportunity to bring your dog to socialize with other dogs. So I tell people, you know, think about the holidays. Bring your family, bring your pets, the family's pets. Have your own little party at the Animal Resource Complex, or the ARC is what we call it. And then, you know what, you go home, the kids are tired, the dogs are tired, and the adults can have some fun. What do you think about that?
If I bring another pet home, my mom will divorce me.
Oh, I know. You don't want that. She takes care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But Clover is gorgeous.
Clover needs some obedience, I think.
So does Patches.
Is that it? Okay. Uh-huh. I heard. Spoiled.
Absolutely.
You're not a good parent. You spoil that dog.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Spoiling a dog is a good thing, except when the dog starts to run the household. Is that
She doesn't quite run the household.
Yeah.
I take total command over, but anything else, I mean, right. She just doesn't.
She has her own chair and.
No, she has her own house.
Okay, there, see.
But she has the house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She doesn't have a chair,
mm-hmm.
So she has a house.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes with people, they do spoil their pets, and that's great. You know, that's what you should do. But if you allow them to get away with a negative behavior.
Yeah.
Then it becomes a problem, and then, you know, if people with visitors come, they don't, you know, they don't behave properly.
She has to go in her box.
There you go.
She's got to be kenneled when company comes.
That is right. And, you know, wouldn't it be nice if she could just lay beside you and behave herself?
She's a Jack Russell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
The
learning dog.
The learning dog,
the learning
baby.
Uh-huh. Then you said they're your partner.
They are. We partner with them. We recommend them highly. They also come down to our animal resource complex and teach obedience training, different courses and classes there for both people and pets. So many people come to me and say when I'm doing outreach and things like that, you know, I have this pet that I have a problem with and I'm going to have to get rid of it or, you know, it attacks my daughter's dog and that's not good. You know, there are ways to deal with these problems and that's we want to try to help pet owners prevent problems so they're not tempted to get rid of that dog or cat or dump that animal in shelters that are already overburdened and, you know, let's make it work. So we have resources to talk to you about with your pet about if it has a problem behavior. We have tools like harnesses and easy walk harnesses for jumping dogs. We have interactive treats and toys that will help keep their minds busy so they're not chewing the couch while you're away. So we just, you know, we try and practice what we preach, you know. So
going back to what I said about Christmas time.
Yes, yes, yes.
And animals, because
yes.
you brought something up, and you said it again. People get pets,
mm-hmm.
and they're great pets while they're puppies.
Right.
But they don't actually find out what kind of dog they're going to become when they're not a puppy anymore.
Right. Yeah, you need to do your homework, and if you're have an active lifestyle, maybe you want an active dog. You want a dog that'll go out and run with you or you know, bicycle with you or things like that, be outside and enjoy your activities. But if you're more of a sedentary person, you certainly don't want a Jack Russell or, you know, a dog that has an exuberant personality and needs a lot of exercise. You know, for example, a Border Collie. What was a Border Collie bred for? To herd cattle,
right?
You know, and herd animals, sheep. So they have a very high activity level. So, you know, if you live in a condo, probably a Border Collie's not going to be the best choice of a breed, you know.
How do you find that information out?
Well, you know, the Internet is a wonderful resource. Your veterinarians, your pet stores, your pet product stores should have information about that. Of course, you can call our animal resource complex, and we can help you sort through that. There are online, you can actually go to petfindermaybe.com, and they've been under reconstruction here recently, so I'm not sure if this is still there. But you could actually say, hey, I have an active lifestyle, or, you know, I'm older and just want a companion lap dog. Here are the best breeds for you, you know. So you can really do your homework and work toward getting a perfect solution. Now, another thing about shelters, at least like ours, we know our animals. You know, we know whether temperament test them, if they like cats, kids, all kinds of things. So we really know them. Sometimes with a puppy, you never quite know what you're going to get personality-wise, you know. But if you get a little older dog, rescue a dog, you kind of know what you're going to get.
Okay.
Okay, because the rescuers have spent time with them and can tell you that.
When I fill out an application
mm-hmm.
for adoption,
mm-hmm.
I mean, because when you, it's one thing to go out and find a certain breed of dog that I'm looking for. It's another thing for me to go and to adopt a dog.
Right.
So a lot of times you get mixed breeds.
Uh-huh.
How do I know how that dog is going to work within my home?
Well, we're going to help you.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to help you make sure it works in your home.
It's a true adoption process.
It is. And, you know, sometimes people say to us, well, you make it too difficult to adopt an animal, or your standards are too high. Well, our dogs and cats and animals generally come from circumstances where they've not had the greatest life anyway, and so we never want that to happen again. We want to make sure that home is forever. So we do make you jump through a little more hoops, as they say. You know, the dog pounds, they have little less stringent adoption criterion. So you can always find another option. But we actually will come to the house and make sure that dog is, you know, is reacting appropriately once it's in your home with your pet or with whomever lives in that home. So we go to great lengths to make sure it's the best situation for everybody.
Care for puppies, care for dogs and cats.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people get them, and then they put them, like I said, they're great when they're puppies, and then next thing you know, they're outside on a chain.
That is correct.
And I don't know why people have dogs that they put on a chain. I don't understand the dog chain outside.
No.
And that's the dog's house.
That is correct.
I understand a dog goes in and out the house. The dog's an outdoor dog and comes in the house. But, wintertime is coming. It gets cold outside.
Right.
You have to hay them. But sometimes it gets cold enough where those dogs need to come in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be trained enough to be able to come in.
That's right.
And be able to function inside of a home situation.
Yes. And, dogs are companion animals. They're isolated out on a chain. They want to be interacting with people. Now, if you have to put them out for a little period of time or something like that, like you said, that's fine. But in the elements, why have that animal if you're just going to look at it? Get a plant.
Yeah,
you'll kill the plant because you're not going to care for it either.
I mean, I see people, they feed the dog, they water the dog, but the dog goes out on the chain and the dog lives on the chain forever.
That's it. What's the reason? And what are you teaching your children, by doing that? That's not a way to care for a living being.
Now, you said something about people that abuse dogs tend to abuse people also.
Animal abusers, over 70% of the time, it's well documented. There have been studies since the 1800s that animal abusers will go on to abuse a human. There are a multitude of reasons why people do abuse animals. Sometimes if there's a mental issue, then, obviously treatment needs to be sought. But it's an act of violence. It's an act of bullying. It's an act of manipulation. And many times that individual is seeking attention and or some sort of gratification. It's sick. It's a sickness, and it needs to be addressed immediately. I think society is starting to understand that, the court system, the prosecutors, the police departments, law enforcement, they understand that. Basically, we're all dealing with the same population. The individuals who are doing drugs, who are doing crime, are also either neglecting or abusing or treating cruelly animals.
Because the same people, I think it was earlier this year here in the Mahoning Valley, we had people were throwing duct taping dogs.
Oh,
that was just
horrible.
I don't understand.
Horrible.
And throwing them off of bridges.
Right.
Who does that?
And, in Columbiana County a year or so ago, we had a cow was set on fire, a calf.
Who does that?
Someone who either is seeking attention for whatever reason.
Who does that?
Somebody who needs to be taken and gotten treatment or some sort of intervention. That's who does that.
Children have to learn how to play with animals.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. And people need to know how to maintain animals,
mm-hmm.
Any type of pets. And know how to treat them with respect, because kids pull dogs' tails.
Right.
Kids, they need to learn how to pet dogs, how to approach dogs,
right.
and cats.
Right.
Every cat has a different temperament. Every dog has a different temperament. And learning that they can, they have to have respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good learned behavior for all young people.
It is, and when. If we have the humane agents, if they go into a home where the animals aren't being cared for properly, chances are those children aren't being. If there's children in the home, they're not being cared for properly either. I mean, the individuals who aren't caring for animals don't really know how or choose not to care for humans either. There is a correlation definitively.
So there's a correlation with pets on a leash and children running wild in the house.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Wow.
That is interesting. I want to tell you another story, too, involving people and animals. We had a situation several years ago. It was on Thanksgiving Eve, and it was a very snowy, bad evening. It was at dusk, and a father had gone to pick up his children for weekend visitation, took the cat with him. On the way home, he took the cat and threw it over a bridge, okay, into a creek. Now, it wasn't a high bridge, but it was a bridge, and in the front of children. The children were hysterical, and they called their mother. The mother called the humane agent, and she was able to go and find that cat. Charges were pressed, and that man did go to court and had probation or whatever at that point. My point in telling you this is that man was using an animal to manipulate those children and to bully them into I don't know what, but that people use animals for all kinds of purposes. Attention, manipulation, mental anguish, brainwashing. And so there is, I don't mean to, you know, bring a darkness into a topic that is can be very joyful, but there is that side to it. And people, when there's an abusive situation in a household, if there's a pet involved, most of the time people will not leave that abusive situation until that pet can be removed from the home as well, because the abuser will use that animal to bring the person back.
Wow.
Or to manipulate. So this is a macro topic. You know, we're here to talk about dogs and kitties, but it is a societal problem that people who aren't animal lovers or aren't animal people. Sometimes when I go to speak, first thing I said is, look, I'm not an animal wacko. You know, I don't need to talk to the animal people here. They already like me. I want to talk to the people who aren't animal people, because here's why you need to pay attention to what we do.
There are people who do not like animals.
There are.
Why? I have to ask that. I mean, there are people that are just, not that they're afraid of them, they just don't like animals. They don't like pets. They don't like cats, dogs, cows.
And I have a cousin that sort of.
And it's okay that you don't want one.
Right.
But just not to like them.
Well,
or they just,
there's a difference there, right. Some people don't grow up with pets. They just maybe don't want to be inconvenienced. They're a big chore to take care of.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. But somebody who dislikes animals or hates animals or wants to harm them, to me, that person needs to be evaluated.
This guy's inside of my chat room. He says people who that become serial killers often start out as animal abusers.
It's documented. You put that in, and you'll get all Jeffrey Dahmer. All of the serial killers start with animals.
Wow.
So if we ignore that, if you see something that doesn't look right, you know, if an animal's being abused or neglected, I call that a flare. And that means caution, pay attention, investigate, because something is going on. And if it's not, it will be.
I run across people who just don't, there are people that just don't want to the responsibility of pets.
Sure.
But then there are some people that just don't like, they just taunt dogs. They just don't, they don't like animals, they don't like dogs, they don't like cats. And I'm like, how do you, I can understand being scared of them if one bit you when you were younger. But it's another thing just to be mean.
And it can be an educational process. Again, it could be a learned behavior. That's how they saw their parents treat animals, so therefore that's how they treat them. And we have a dog. I'm not sure if she's still there or not. But her owner said that when she would go to the door, he would, to potty, he would just pick her up and throw her out. Now, that dog learned that when it went to the door to go potty, it was going to get abused.
Oh, man.
So it had taken months to undo her fear of
going
to the door.
Yeah.
Let alone men.
Oh, man.
Because she doesn't like men who look like her former owner. You know, if I'm getting, you know, every time I walk down the street and I go by, you know, a storefront and the guy comes out and throws a snowball at me, I'm going to quit going down that
eventually,
you know, exactly. So it's a learned, you know, it's a learned behavior.
You brought me so many things today. You brought me treats for my dog. You have wonderful T-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Fun T-shirts.
T-shirts. Great colors.
Thank you.
Talks about spade and neutering. And you can't stick. It's a shame you can't stick stupid.
How
you know
about
that's
our one of our best sellers. Yeah.
That's my slogan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much that you're doing down there at the Humane Society of Columbiana County.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to get involved, if you what do you have to offer for people that are out there? I know that I can come and get my I can walk my dog there. You can walk your dog there.
We offer obedience classes. We offer seminars for people. For example, Jenny at the Learning Dog did a seminar twice on reading dogs' behavior. You know, if you're walking down the street and you encounter a dog, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to tell by, you know, by their eyes and by their tail movement, by their stature, if that dog's happy or not, or if you need to be afraid and what to do? Everybody should see this seminar, and it's wonderful. So we teach educational seminars. We bring school children in, you know, and teach them different things, give them different tools, like how to address an animal, what to do if you find
not to run.
That's right. Get an adult immediately. Don't try to stay away from the dog, different things like that. We do have, again, toys and treats and harnesses and products to help you with your pet. We have fun T-shirts. Our animal resource complex is there to help the community, but also to raise income for us. You know, that's if we don't make money, right? We're self-funded by either donation. We work our tails off every year to make money. And so this helps supplement that. And so, you know, we try to do things that raise money. We had some movie nights where you could bring your pet and watch a movie. We had trick-or-treating with your pet. So people, we have a photographer who comes in, posing with pets photography comes in and takes pictures of you and your pet. So just, you know, a plethora. They're very creative. I mean, there'll be more programming coming in the months ahead.
What's coming up next? What do we have coming up for the holidays or beginning of the year? Do you have anything?
Well, for dogs that have been in our care and attending our socialization classes and obedience classes and things like that, they can come, and it's called Santa's Helpers, and you can actually leave your dog with us for a little while. So
How long can I leave my dog?
Not overnight. But that way, then you can go off and do your shopping or whatever for a couple hours. But there again, that is limited to those individuals who have been using our classes, so we know the dogs. Okay. You know, that's another incentive for people to come to our classes and things. That way, when we know your animal, then we can also help you care for the animal perhaps in our facility during the day. So those are things we're working into. We'll have the photographer back. Trying to think what else they have going on.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, quite a bit. I think the best thing to do is check out the website.
And the website
and it's www.columbianahumane.org. And I don't think our December schedule's up there yet, but I will get that on immediately. And of course we have a holiday promotion. We do have an adoption promotion this Saturday or Sunday at the Animal Resource Complex. Of course you can go to the shelter every day, but we will have our dog of the month, our dog of the week at the, I think it's Domino, beautiful little Springer Spaniel looking dog. He'll be at the Animal Resource Complex. And we also have a Home for the Holidays cat adoption event as well. Well, there. What's that dog on?
New study finds dogs don't feel guilty when they've done something wrong. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
I don't know if mine. I speak a little loudly. Like, what did you do?
They feel awfully guilty.
They do. You know, let me follow up one thing on Tracy that you talked about too at holiday time and getting a pet. You know, nothing is greater than that vision of the little puppy jumping out of the box on Christmas morning. But people have to understand. That puppy, there's no off switch to it.
He doesn't stop, huh?
Not going to stop. And it's
no
going to...
No batteries.
No, you can't just put it in the closet. And when you want to take a nap or you want to go out to eat, that puppy is going to need attention. So there has to be consideration taken when you're going to adopt a pet anytime, but especially at the time of the holiday season, because there's just so much going on. So be mindful. And, you know, sadly, then in about... March,
yeah.
Then they dump the dog because it's out of the puppy stage.
Yep.
It's chewing things and all of a sudden now we get an animal that needs reconditioned.
Yeah.
You know, and that puppy will grow up.
Cats cats take work, and so and cats take work also.
They do.
I don't want so some people. Well, I'll just get a cat because cats are nothing. But you don't. Cats, you have to. They scratch on furniture.
Yes,
they scratch
do.
On carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Cats have to be trained. They have to be. And I have this big conversation about grooming cats. Cats need some time to be groomed, depending on the cats you have.
Absolutely.
You have to maintain cats. You just don't have cats just to have a cat.
No. And there again, there are so many adult cats out there, and I'm makes me sad to steer somebody away from an infant animal, but the cats at the shelter, you can come into the rooms and see what the personality is.
Oh,
it's free roaming. I mean, you come in and they'll, you know, just come and greet you, or you can tell if it's a shy cat or different things like that. So you can kind of pick that personality that you're looking for, and the shelters all over are just, you know, they're just overflowing with these pets. So, you know, reconsider getting a pet from a breeder. You know, there are so many pets out there that are in need of good homes.
Well, Jenny, I want to thank you for coming and hanging out with me today. It's a privilege to have you here.
Tracy,
you're
thank
always
you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Always welcome. I find what you do down there very, very rewarding, and it's very, very necessary because people need to have, one, pet education. They need to have a place where they can learn and they can grow. And pets need to find a way that they can find a good home.
Right.
And I think you provide that down there.
Well, thank you.
So if people want to get in touch with you, they can go to the ColumbianaHumane.org.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's the phone number down there?
330-332-2600 or 330-332-8622. And, yep, check out our website, Facebook page, you know.
What's Facebook page name?
That is www.facebook.com/rockandrescue. And that is ROCC and rescue, because ROCC stands for Reduce Overpopulation of Cats and Canines. So that's
ROCC.
So when we say you rock, we mean ROCC. Yes. I want to put a shout out too to all the animal welfare rescuers out there, because it's a never ending job, and you know, people think that you know that it's just about animals, and it's not. It's
Angels,
about society. Yeah, Angels.
What you guys do?
Yeah, Trumbull Animal Welfare League.
Yeah.
There's so many.
There are so many. But I got to say, you guys, there are a couple of you guys out there. You, Diane. You guys do some serious work.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
We're surrounded by good people, you know, and sure.
And your volunteers are great.
Yep. Volunteers are great. Staff's great. And, you know, come on out, check us out, because it makes you feel good.
It really does.
Yeah.
It does. I wish I had more time.
Thank you. It's gone fast.
It has.
Yeah.
Listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. When I come back, we'll have open mic. Thanks, Jenny,
for coming
down and hanging out with me. You're always welcome to see you on the other side of my break.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Quarterback on the top-ranked team in college football. He's also a front-runner for the Heisman Trophy. And Jameis Winston came very close to being benched for good over criminal allegations. Now we learn that's not going to happen.
A woman told Florida police she was raped nearly a year ago at an off-campus apartment after a night of drinking. But state's attorney Willie Meggs cleared Florida State quarterback and Heisman Trophy contender Jameis Winston.
No charges will be filed against anyone in this case.
Winston's attorney has said the sex was consensual. Winston is the Las Vegas favorite to win the Heisman. Aaron Katursky, ABC News.
This is the 50th anniversary of the measles vaccine. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says it has made the U.S. and, for that matter, much of the world a lot healthier.
Not only did the U.S. and this entire hemisphere eliminate measles 10 years ago, but we've been able to maintain elimination for a full decade. Elimination, though, is not eradication.
However, CDC Director Dr. Thomas Frieden says there were more cases of the disease here in the U.S. than usual, 175 confirmed so far. Usually we only see about 60. Want to raise with that? Fast food workers walked off the job nationwide today. They're demanding better pay and the right to form unions. This man works at a McDonald's in Los Angeles.
People can't afford to live on that. And some people, when you have two or three jobs, and that's not acceptable.
Restaurant owners say raising wages, however, would probably also mean raising prices. If you have a flight on American Airlines today, you're going to want to call the carrier first.
Today in the United States, so far there are 570 total
flight cancellations. 570 is quite a few cancellations, and the vast majority of those are on American Airlines.
ABC's Genevieve Shaw-Brown says it's due to an ice storm in Dallas. This is ABC News.
If you're a homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your commitment. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for homeowners who are current on their mortgage payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. More than 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
An American teacher gunned down in Libya. ABC's Tom Rivers has the story.
Ronnie Smith was a well-loved teacher at the city's international school. Principal Peter Hodge tells ABC News his colleague had just gone out for a jog.
Some black jeep came up behind him and he was killed, basically.
Gunned down in a random shooting. Hodge says Smith just wanted to make a difference.
The students are feeling really shocked and really upset that something like this could happen to someone who is just here to help.
He had planned to join his wife and young son in the U.S. next week, who had flown ahead for the Christmas break. Tom Rivers, ABC News.
The killing took place in Benghazi. Wildlife officials say as many as 20 pilot whales in danger of stranding in Everglades National Park are swimming into deeper water. A Coast Guard helicopter had spotted the two pods of whales swimming in about 12 feet of water. Several miles north of their previous location, at least 10 whales died since Tuesday. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts, the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 5 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock. And as I promised, we will go back to our discussion. It's open mic. I want to thank Jenny from the Columbiana Humane Society for coming in and hanging out with me. It's always a pleasure to see her and spend time with her. And I find that, you know, the information that we pass out here, and a lot of times it's not confrontational, it's just informational, and you need to know that. And you know, get your pets spayed and neutered. Take care of your pets. Pets are not to be just locked up outside on a chain, and make sure that you treat them with decency and respect. So, again, I want to thank her for coming out and hanging out with her, and you can always find her at ColumbianaHumane.org. Matt, how are you?
I'm okay, Tracy. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm kind of upset your guest had to go because, of course, as soon as I hopped on the line and I heard the issue of pet care, I acquired a dog a couple months ago that my wife talked me into, and this dog has had nothing but problems since we got it. So I wanted to ask her a couple
problems. What kind of
problem? It's a Pomeranian. You know what a Pomeranian is? It's like
a real fuzzy yapper.
Yeah, it's like a Chihuahua just
on
stuck
steroids.
In hair. Right.
So
this dog has had
dog?
Well, it's had tapeworm, it's had impacted anal glands, which the vet told me I could do on my by myself, and I said that's okay, I'll pay you. It's had kennel cough. It's had all these things, and everybody keeps telling me, well, you know, of course, after the fact, after I told them that's what I was getting, they decide to tell me now that this type of breed of dog, these Pomeranians, tend to have these problems quite often. So I'm like, oh, great. I've only had a $400 vet bill in 2 months. I can't, you know, there goes my roof for next year.
Yes, South Carolina. Yeah.
I was listening while the young lady was on. And I was trying to tell you, you were talking about your Jack Russell, but I was wanting to find out how long did it take him to train you?
Oh, it took her all of like a day.
To train you?
Yes, I'm very well trained. I am very, very well trained.
Depending on the personality of a Jack Russell, you know, they because I've got two of them, they tend to be either very, very accommodating to their human, or very, very, they ignore them.
Well, my dog trains everyone she comes in contact with.
Allowed to approach my dog. My dog will run away every time I approach it. It only comes, you know, it comes to me when it wants attention. But if I lean down to pet it, forget it. He's gone.
It's called take that, Matt. It's called a take that.
That's exactly what it is.
Listen, my baby is. I am very, very well trained. I taught her how to go outside, and she taught me how she wants to be treated. And that's the relationship that we have.
Well, I did have four, but now we've got five. I absolutely loathe dogs. I just hate them. But I got five of them in my house right now.
You want another one?
No. No.
We got a Pomeranian that we're trying to get rid of. It's auctioning off.
No.
You sound like a responsible pet owner. That's the only reason I'm saying that.
No. I don't need another one. But I tell you what, though, the very small breed dogs, we just have not had success with. I mean, first we got a the first dog that my wife wanted was a Yorkie, and we got that dog, and for some reason it got some rare disease after it came back from being kenneled one time, and it died, and she wanted another Yorkie, and she got it, and we had her for about almost a year, and we went out of town one time and left them with a friend of ours, and we haven't seen the dog since. Of course, that's not our friend anymore anyway. So we just went ahead and got the Jack Russell this time. And nobody.
Let me ask you this. No, you don't have to worry about people coming to get the Jack Russell. Nope. Let me ask you this. I did not know Jack Russells were high strung when I got mine. I wasn't paying attention to the high impact of the dog. I was just paying attention to the love that the dog will have, I have for it.
Mhm. Well, they are wide open. They're I guess you can call them classified as being a working dog. I mean, they were kind of bred to you know go in holes and pull out rats or you know anything small. They'll get in there and dig it up. We had a mole before we got the Jack Russell that had a tendency to want to dig across the yard to see where his mole hole was. And Dolly would actually go there and look and smell. And there was a whole trail where the mole hole was, and she dug the whole thing up until she got the mole. I came out one morning, and this ugly, if you've never seen a mole, it will scare the mess out of you because it looks so daggone ugly. It's got no eyes or nothing. And it's sitting there, you know, legs up in the air. And she's standing by like I did something really big. But, but yeah, they,
let me show you what I did for you, Dad.
But you have to be very careful if you're going to get like a Jack Russell or one of the dogs that's in the working class, because they will dig your yard up. They will be very, very hyper, and you just have to either have to really train them well or be willing to exercise them.
I just have a good dog.
You have a busy dog.
I have a good dog. When I got her, I said, well, I'll just take her to the studio. She'll just, you know, she'll come to work with me. I'll put her down by my feet and she'll be quiet. No, she has yet to come to work.
That's a Chihuahua, if you want to do that. A Chihuahua is a needy dog. That's what my daughter's got. They're worse than babies.
Now, I got a question for you guys. I got to change the subject for you because I got to go back to the conversation that we were having a little bit earlier. Because I got a comment. For some reason, people believe racism is still alive in America. But I look at racism as racism is still alive in America, and I know that fine, well, and good. But the racism that we have today, I find it as an obstacle that you can overcome if you choose to. And my problem is I hear every time, you know, Covina Man or somebody comes on, and I know that it's difficult being black in America. It is. But it's no difficult than not speaking a language anymore. It's no difficult than being poor. It's no difficult than any other thing that's going on today. And just because you don't like me doesn't mean it should stop me from becoming successful. And I shouldn't use it as a crutch to stop me. And every time we have this conversation, I keep on hearing excuses about why we can't make it. Am I wrong in saying this, or is my head still in the clouds, or what? Because I truly believe that our young people don't have the racism and the obstacles that my mom them had. Yet they can't seem to do what my mom and my grandparents and my aunts and uncles did.
Well, you know what, Tracy? In a lot of ways, they do still have the obstacles that your mom and your grandmother and your grandparents had, because a lot of today's youth, today's generation, is being brought up and taught that it's still extraordinarily real. It's just as bad, if not worse, and the white man is the enemy. So really, those obstacles are still there because they're put there by their parents.
And I know the white man can be the enemy, but just because he's my enemy, I've come from the school of thought that you can conquer your enemy if you choose to. But I mean, how can people go through life, you know, trying to die to learn how to read, and now you have the opportunity to read and won't read? See, that just doesn't work for me anymore. You know, if George Washington Carver can learn how to read the way he did, then I should be able to learn how to read and go to school every day. How do I sit in a classroom every day and still not learn how to read? Or is it just me? I mean, am I looking at this with rose-colored glasses or what?
No, you're not. You're not. I mean, when you hear stories of people working on the farm and then going to the one-room schoolhouse and learning how to read and having to go, you know, walk up, you know, 5 miles, you know, the school uphill both ways. You know, I mean, you gotta wonder what the heck is wrong with this generation. You know, how arrogant are we to think that we, you know, we got to where we got on the backs of others, but now we can just, you know, say, well, we got here, we don't have to work anymore, and that's a lie.
And that's a problem, because if you look at really what's going on right now, we have more recreational items, and this is not a race thing. It's a societal thing, but we keep on putting race into the equation, because when I look at the educational attainment of America, they weren't looking at black students. They were looking at American students in general.
Yeah.
So how can we be faltering? And then if you look at the majority of your inner city schools, they're at the bottom of the list, and then say it's a white man's thing when all of us are failing together because we're separated. Go ahead, 216. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, Matt.
I'll just say this really quick. I just want to add this. This is an observation I've made. To me, today's generation, the kids today, or even the people that are, I'll say, I'm not going to go into 50s and 60s because there was some very real racism, as there's still very real racism today, but not as bad as if you're 50, 60 years old. So those people, I give more of a pass to talk a little bit more. Now, when you're 20, 30 years old, here's what I see, and tell me if I'm wrong. I see that they feel that they represent in their own body the last 300 years of slavery in this country, and that it's their right now collect because of that slavery and because of that hardship that their past kin went through. I think that they literally feel that they've lived it, they've gone through all the problems and all the racism that their past family has done, and they feel it's their time to collect on it. Is that an incorrect assumption?
In some ways, I think you're right.
Hello?
Yeah, 216, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's an incorrect assumption, and I think this whole discussion is based on a certain narrative to support a political viewpoint. I'm an African-American man, 61 years old. I'm a pastor, spent most of my life in the business world, extremely successful salesperson, but I know what it was to deal with the situations I had to deal with, having superior results, superior numbers, superior ability, but yet being passed over time after time by white guys who did not have results like I did. In fact, some of the guys were guys that I trained and taught in the business that I was in, so I know that on a personal basis. Another example is this. Is a white high school grad today, on mean average, makes more than a black college grad? Now, how do you explain that without giving me some make-believe way to explain it away? Because you know, you used to give me some anecdotal, well, I know of some person. That does not dissolve the problem. Racism is real. It's more subtle today. It has impact on this generation. I'm a pastor. I know what young black people go through who have no criminal record. They, if with the same amount of effort, they don't achieve the same amount of results. I know that to be a fact.
If I could point something out, you just said that you don't accept and you don't agree with the I know somebody argument, yet you just used it in your comments there.
I didn't say no. I didn't say I know someone. I deal with a whole class because I'm a pastor. So I have a broader set of examples to deal with rather than one anecdotal example. It's no different than the Ronald Reagan guy, you know, narrative where they always found some lady buying a steak with food stamps. That's a bunch of foolishness. It's a particular narrative. I have a broader experience than you have, sir.
Well, how do you know you have a broader experience than I have?
No,
I'm just wondering how he knows that. He doesn't know what I do.
But
well,
Matt,
what do you do?
Go ahead, Tracy.
My question to you is, and I said, I don't know if you heard my preface. I said racism is still real today. I did not say
very
that it has
real.
Gone away. But what I'm saying is, but I believe a lot of times right now we're using it as an excuse and not as an obstacle that we just have to overcome. See, I know racism. Because see, hold on, because you told me you were 60 years old. So you get 10 years on me, which means you have gone through some things, and what you've gone through and what I've gone through, I look at younger people that are 30 years, 40 years younger than me, but they're not going through what you and I went through, and we're definitely not going through what our parents went through. And
okay.
I watched my mom and my dad chew some crow that I've never got a chance to chew. And I know that I have chewed some crow that my kids will not have to chew. But my question is, when do we say enough is enough and we begin to work together as a cohesive unit to overcome the obstacles and get inside the boardrooms and change things that we find out is wrong?
Well,
see, that's my
reality,
issue, because right now we're using it as an excuse. And, yes, we're graduating from school, and, yes, we're doing some things. But right now, if you look at what we're doing today, we still don't have a spirit of excellence, and we still don't have a spirit of community and continuity that we should have within our own community.
Let me give you an example, ma'am. I remember some years ago when I, just a local pastor, I didn't travel much, So my viewpoint of churches in general was based on a very narrow perspective. Until I began to travel the country and begin to preach all over the nation, my whole vocabulary changed. Instead of saying, I know we, I found out that my little world was not reflective of the whole world. The reality is you have millions of young black people who are productive, who are industrious, who are diligent, who make effort to succeed, but they still don't succeed at the same degree as a white counterpart because subtle racism, covert racism, still exists. We would like to believe that we're in a post-racial generation, but we're not. It makes people feel good. It assaults people's conscience, but the reality is we're still there.
And you know what? On this show, if you've listened for any amount of time, we have, not we, Tracy and the other hosts and a lot of the callers on the show have pointed that out time and time again. That's a realization that's very true. And it's unfortunate, and it needs to be dealt with. And I understand, as a white man, I understand that, and I am not a racist in any way, shape, or form. And I try to do my best to learn about what's going on. Like what you're saying, I would love to have a 3-4 hour sit-down conversation with you to see where your perspectives come from. Unfortunately, those arguments, they're very real. Like what we're talking about right now, which is a very real subject, tends to get skirted under the rug quite a bit because of people just screaming racism to scream it. And that, right, I think, needs to stop.
I don't doubt that. It's like the boy who cried wolf. But the reality is racism is very real. We call it some don't because they don't want to deal with it. We call it the black tax. It's an additional level of struggle. And, you know, we can't base our narrative on exceptional people. Most people are not exceptional. You can always find people who are not exceptional who can achieve, and we like to highlight that. Let's deal with most people who are average people, average intelligence, who do not make the same results with the same amount of effort. That is
reality. Let me ask you this, Pastor, and you said you're a pastor, so I'm going to respect your office. But let me ask you this. I have Thanksgiving dinner this past week.
Okay.
And we all come from the same seed. But when I look around the room and I look at the behavior of the people in the room, I'm finding out that the behavior that we had and the respect that we had one for another is not the same across the board. So where? No, it does. Because there were people in the room that had their master's degrees that were doing very, very well. And they had people, and we're all of the same hue, and all of the same race, and all of the same background. We all came from the same level. We all started out the same place, in the same family. Some have been, and everyone has chosen their path. And all of them have had struggles with race because we all have. But what I'm saying is, when I talk about educational attainment and growth, there should not be anyone who makes an excuse of race for why they cannot achieve in America today. Because just because you don't like me and just because you don't like my race should not be what's going to hinder me from moving ahead. And my problem is we are using racism as a crutch and not as an obstacle. See, I need to be over – you never heard me say that racism was not real. It is real. And I understand it very, very well. But what I'm saying is we are using it as a crutch instead of as an obstacle. An obstacle you overcome, and you persevere, and you move on. A crutch you lean on, and you call it an excuse. And what's happening today in our own society is that we're using race as a crutch and not an obstacle, and we are not advancing. So right now, we are now a subgroup that no one cares about because we will not take our cohesiveness and our continuity and our community to advance. And we're using things like race as an excuse instead of overcoming racism with excellence and becoming better at it. So we don't have community centers. We don't have economic development. We don't have political attainment that we should have because the white man's got his foot on our neck. And the white man, all I need to do is take his foot and break it and move it out the way. And that's all I have to do is to get ahead because the people that are before me, such as you and such as my grandparents and such as my parents, that's what they did. So why can we not do that today?
mammoth. You know, that's a nice point, and, you know, the way you put that together was very fluent and poetical. But the reality is this, you're talking very broadly. You're saying that we encompasses all 36 million, 10 million of us. I need to understand and get some clarity when you say we. Who does we mean? Who does that mean?
We means you as a black man, me as a black woman.
You don't know what I do.
I'm not talking about what you do. But from your conversation, if you are a pastor and you see many of them and you've been working with across, you travel the world and you preached all over.
Mm-hmm. And I've been in business, ma'am, for many years.
And you said you've been in business. So my question is, why is it that because if you look at the number statistically, we are going further back today than we have ever been in our history. And we keep on going backwards. Unemployment is still rising. And things are still coming into our community, and we're still losing.
Well, let me ask you this, ma'am. If we're going backwards, why do we have a greater black middle class today than we have ever had? The gross capita income of black people on a per capita basis is higher than it's ever been. We're living longer than we have ever lived. We have more blacks graduating from college, more blacks own businesses today. I don't understand where you're getting your facts from. Statistically, it doesn't make any sense. It is insulting to me because when I was hiring young blacks, hiring in business, I had many, many, many black applicants come across my path who were very skilled. And I remember times I had to present them as a potential applicant to hire management. And here's what they told me sometime the job description was, very bluntly. We want a white woman with big breasts and blonde hair that we can take into our potential candidates and get them emotional so we can come back and close the sale. So that immediately eliminated a certain amount of black men. I was right there in that process that well-qualified black people came in that I could not get them through the process. This is reality. And this, I know what I'm talking about.
No offense.
So let me finish this.
That disqualifies me, too.
Let me finish the last part. The we notion of we do and we are and we collectively, that is, you know, that is nice conversation, sounds nice, but it takes, you must be omniscient and everywhere at the same time to say we, and I know what all of we do. That is not the case. You can't prove that.
You
can say it, but you can't prove it.
You would ask me, sir, and you know, you had asked me earlier in this conversation what I do, and I didn't get a chance to answer that. Let me answer that and tell you who I talk to. I tune and manufacture steel drums, steel pans from Jamaica, Trinidad, those types of things. Little company out of here, Ohio. That's what I do. In that job, I meet probably at least, I'll say, 20 different people. From one of those countries, anywhere from really Africa, any Trinis, Jamaicans, you name it, a lot of them, and several of them live in the country because they're going to school here. They've been here for about 3 or 4 years. And they would ask me, this show, Tracy, who you're talking to, I've only been listening to for about 2.5 years, I think. And before that, when they would ask me, you know, they would say, this is serious. They go, I don't understand why black people are complaining in this country. They'll tell me that. They've been here for 3-4 years. They go, we don't get it. It's so good over here compared to where we're at. Now, 2.5 years ago, I would have said, I don't know. But since I've been calling the show and learning more about, you know, more about what's happening in the black community throughout the country, I'm able to go into the discussion. And I can tell them, well, here's where we're at right now. And they'll still look at me and say, what is the problem? And this
just real quick,
my point is, in this country, things were getting better and better. By the year, better and better. Mm-hmm. They aren't perfect. They're still not perfect. But unfortunately, in the last few years, things have regressed instead of progressed. Pretty bad. If you look at all the race relations that's been happening with what's going on with either the Zimmerman trial or all these other things that they bring up with race, it's starting to regress, not progress, and that's the problem.
Okay. Well, let me say this to you. Your observation about Africans who come from other countries and Jamaicans. I've made an observation for a long time. I've thought that through for a very long time. Let me tell you the difference. This I noticed. White Americans have a vastly different experience with Africans from other nations. I've noticed that in business. I've noticed that in the church world. There is no kind of guilt, past history relationship. I've many times watched them celebrate these people from other countries. It kind of gives them some kind of release of whatever hidden guilt, perceived guilt, or whatever may be the case. Also, what you need to understand is typically, because I've sat down and talked to Africans, I'm a pastor, I have Africans who are part of my church, network worldwide, and sat down and talked to them about that. Let me tell you what they say, the ones that I know. They say this: we understand that your experience has been different than ours. We had degrees of racism, which was very severe, but we didn't lose complete identity. We didn't lose complete culture. We were not taken to a place where we had this absolute disdain and self-loathing for ourselves. If we go back historically, because everything is systemic, it has a root beginning. Back historically, and we look at the time when the slaves initially came out of slavery, slaves were extremely productive. But for years, we've had one kind of setback after the next, from Jim Crow laws, from unions that prevented blacks from achieving, on and on and on. There comes a point when you can crush a people to the point that they are dispirited. And I think that has a significant effect on some African-Americans, is they are very dispirited from generations. And Africans, particularly from other countries other than South Africa, did not experience that.
Ma'am, can I ask you a question really quick?
Sure.
I want to know something. Do African-Americans have any ownership in anything that's going on in their community?
Sure, we have. That's why we have community organizations, African-Americans founded, who are continually
community organizations? What community organizations are in the African-American community right now that are effective, that are doing anything worthwhile?
I'm not going to let you say worthwhile, because I'm not going to let you be the judge of that. I'm going to tell you what is worthwhile. Here's what's worthwhile. We have an organization that works at my church, Jim Brown Sponsors, okay, that goes out to prisons, goes to community organizations, works through community organizations, African-American owned, African-American funded, and African-American sponsored. I have local churches in our community who have feeding programs, they have latchkey programs, they have tutorial programs that are around, that are run by African-Americans. And I can go on and on and on and on.
We got a bunch of small little programs, and they're, I'm not going to knock them because everybody's working on a program.
Okay.
Right now, how this conversation came up today is because I was talking about the erosion of education, the lack of economic development in our communities, to where today everybody's screaming about McDonald's needs to get paid more money, the people that work in fast food, and the erosion of family. And see, we're concerned about single mothers raising their children and not being able to afford to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can blame the white man on a whole lot of things, but I can't mm-hmm. blame him for the lack of respect inside of the black household when it comes to family, nor the lack of the lack of bringing it together as one cohesive unit. Now, I know that they have had a lot to do with the disrespect that we have one for another. But in today's society right now, we as African American are clinging on to everything and doing anything to get rid of the normal family unit that God has ordained. And we have patronized anything that comes along, including the new modern family, and we say it's okay. We christen this stuff, and when you look at abortion, when you look at everything that's going on in the black community, we are saying it's okay. The erosion
Who's
of the
saying,
black man, African American at large.
Okay.
The black church.
Saying that abortion, saying that,
absolutely.
Ma'am, hold on for a second. You just said a statement that you cannot support. The African-American
yes,
church does not support abortion.
Yes, they do.
Don't give me some anecdotal. No, they do not.
Yes, they do.
Ma'am, I know more.
Pastor, ma'am, I know more pastors on the top of my head than you probably know.
Baby, you don't know me.
Don't tell me.
You don't know me.
One or two churches.
I'm not going to tell you one or two. I can tell you 98% of African-American churches in America support abortion.
You just made up a lie, sister. That's not true. Not true.
No, that is true.
Name one African-American church denomination that supports abortion in their mission statement. Give me that.
Church of God in Christ?
P-A-W?
Oh, no, I didn't.
You tell me. Show it to
Pentecostal.
Me.
Y'all can listen, call them up. If you voted Democrat in the last two elections, you voted for abortion.
Ma'am. You just changed the subject.
I didn't change the subject.
No.
Give me.
No, I didn't. No, yes.
Do you have the proof? Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Because when you stood up, honey, listen, this is my number. My number is 330-720-0000. That's my cell phone number. I can prove it to you.
You cannot prove that.
I can systemically and actually factually prove to you in actual numbers. I'm telling you where to go look.
You got a written document that says the church
absolutely supports. Absolutely. And let me tell you this way. Hold on. And I love, don't get me wrong, and I love the bishop, Charles E. Blake, and he is my friend.
And he
but when you stand, listen, when you
he
stand up and you, listen, absolutely.
Oh,
call him
I
on the phone.
Call him up, tell him Tracy said it.
Call him up and say, Tracy Winbush said it. Listen to what I'm saying. Because when you come out and you support the Democrat doctrine, when you come out and support their platform and you see inside of there, that's what they say that they're going to do. They're going to support same-sex marriage. They're going to support making it normal. And you vote for it, you actually condone it. And just because you don't come out and put it in your own platform does not mean you do not support it. Absolutely.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
When Barack Obama comes out and you actually condone what he said and you don't demonize him because it's against the word of God, you condone it because silence is affirmation.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? What does the word abortion mean?
It means to destroy, to get rid of.
Let me tell you what it means. It means to cut off before performing. That's what it means. Do you know the Bible says this? Here's how the Bible teaches that. It teaches two aspects of truth. There's the physical manifestation of truth, and then there is the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth of any matter is higher than the physical matter. So we have physical abortion, but spiritually we have what we call postnatal abortion, which means you abort me after I get here. You abort my hopes, my chances, my dreams, my aspirations. You cut me off before performance. Biblically, I can prove to you that God sees it on both levels. Yes, I know Democrats support physical abortion and Republicans support postnatal abortion. Abort me after I get here. Abort my chances, my aspirations, my hopes, my dreams, and my potential. That's still the same thing. Let me give you another example. Let me give you another example. Jesus is walking through a city called Capernaum. They reject Jesus. He turns around and he says to them, "Woe unto you, Capernaum, in that day it shall be more tolerable for you than the sons of Sodom." Now, why did Jesus, who is the very center of truth, who is the very validation of all Scripture, turn around and tell Capernaum that in the estimation of God, they were worse than homosexuals? Let me give you another Scripture. Ezekiel 16:49 says this. This is the sin of Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. They failed to strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Isaiah chapter 1.
You've taken it out of context.
No,
once
I have
you
not,
get here,
listen.
Yes, you have.
No, I have not. Well, get
then
the
you should
have.
Hold on. If all things you said be true, then why not just eject yourself from the cold process? But for us to stand up at 98% and support the platform of the Democrat Party, stay silent, and say you don't support it, it's wrong. And you can't tell me that we're not doing that. So when you say, hold on,
Bible,
so when you talk about racism and education, listen, the reason why we are poor in America today,
There's poor white people.
Listen, we're talking about racism. And the reason why African Americans are poor today and things are not going the way they should is because a good population of them are. And when I say poor, I'm not talking about monetary. I'm talking about inside of their mindset. Because poor is a mindset. It's not necessarily a monetary value.
Ma'am, I think your mindset is anyone who's not a Republican has a poor mindset, and that's a poor judgment where I don't accept.
This is not what I said. I said to you, I'm not telling anybody to become Republican. That's not what I said.
Looking at that, I'm weighing
but
the
I,
balance
I said
of
to you, when we talk about racism in America today, no matter what goes on, we will not support anything that is outside of the Democrat platform. No matter how right or how wrong it is. So when we talk about racism.
Here you go with the we again. You're talking very broadly. I don't support abortion. I don't support gay marriage. But I give a correct biblical perspective on how God sees it. In the estimation of God, abortion and homosexuality are not the only two sins on the heart of God. You guys have distilled the righteousness of God down to your two political issues, you speak for God falsely.
Hold on, 216. Go ahead, South Carolina.
You're saying that abortion and homosexuality are not the only two sins that's in the Bible.
I agree with that. Got that right.
But if you support someone that promotes those two sins, aren't you distorting and leading folks down the wrong path?
Let me ask you this question. I need to answer a question with a question. That gives a more balanced perspective. If you support someone who started a war on false pretenses and over
listen to what I'm saying, sir. Because this is not something that happened with George Bush. This is something that happened way back with Margaret Sanger, and it was perpetuated for the past 60 years right off of Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society. This has been a plan of the progressives for a long time. Let's just take Democrats out the picture altogether. Forget Democrats, forget Republicans. Let's just call it what it is. The progressive ideology has enslaved the African-American in America, and they continue to enslave the African-American in America.
That's your opinion. That's your right. That's your Republican opinion. No matter what you tell me.
Hold on a minute. Is that Republican or Democrat?
Opinion, yeah. Or
progressive.
Or your conservative opinion. We're still the same thing. We're playing semantics. You're just semantics. You can't take off Republican clothes and call yourself not Republican. It's the same thing.
Republicans are not Democrat or Republican.
Wow.
Go ahead, Matt.
Talk about, you know, There is a lot of generalizing going on with you Republicans, and then trying to throw a George Bush thing in. Sir, if you've been listening to this show, we have gone after the policies of George Bush left and right. So we don't support George Bush.
I really don't.
Okay, you need to before you start generalizing ideas like that. I don't have time, sir.
I'm a very, very busy man.
And I understand that. You're a good pastor, and you're doing the work of God. I get that, right. and believe me, I totally – it's just the fact of on this show – okay, I'll tell you if you haven't been listening. We don't support everything that Republicans do. We've gone after George Bush on things that he's done. We've gone after Chris Christie. We've gone after John Boehner. We want what's right in this country. So you can't generalize with a Republican answer. You Republican, it's not good. A lot of people try that. It doesn't work on the show.
Okay.
Because
Republicans are not Republican
and or Democrat. They're both.
Yes, exactly.
Point being is this. You know something? One of the things I've noticed about people on the conservative side, I'm not a conservative, neither am I a liberal, but you guys have deified your doctrine. You have taken your doctrine. Did you hear what I said? I said what I said. You've deified your doctrine. You guys worship your doctrine. Your political doctrine has become your God to the point it's infected you so severely that you can't see anything but a very narrow, myopic brand of truth. That's my problem with that. I could be attracted.
The Constitution is myopic.
No, you have exalted the Constitution. You've exalted the Constitution above the Scripture. That's why you believe in guns.
No, that's not even
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. We're the ones trying to get rid of Merry Christmas. That's us.
Absolutely. Don't say Jesus nowhere and don't have a nativity nowhere. I appreciate
Hold
that.
On something. Let me tell you something. The seven sons of Stephen said Jesus, but they didn't have Jesus. So saying Jesus doesn't mean you have him. They said Jesus to the slaves while they enslaved them. They said Jesus to the slaves while they raped them. So I'm not impressed with this make-believe pseudo-righteousness of putting the Ten Commandments up. That changes nothing. The very same state where they were concerned with taking the Ten Commandments down was the most racist state in the nation. That's hypocrisy.
Pastor.
Yes.
Listen. If you want to call me and we can do this off air, but I'm telling you now.
I don't have time to call you.
I really appreciate your calling. You listening in? I do, but
Let me tell you something, sister. I've taken time and prayed this through and studied it through, and I asked God about this. I don't let anybody pump my head with Kool-Aid. Let me tell you what aggravates me. The Republicans and the conservatives have this pseudo make-believe righteousness that they're the party of God. And they
ain't nobody said that. Dude. Listen.
Ma'am, please.
Listen.
And
if this is your first time.
Make-believe.
Sweetheart, if this is your first time listening to my show, then I'm sorry. Then you need to listen again when you get more time so you really understand that this is not a religion. It's a political persuasion that I work inside of the system trying to change the system so it can be kingdom-minded. So don't get it twisted. So you don't know what you don't know what we stand for if you ain't never listened before. Because the last thing that my belief system is Republican and or Democrat or political. But I will tell you this.
Okay, well, you told me that the Democrats were terrible for voting for.
No.
What do you think?
I told you, African, we talked about racism. And I said to you, we can do better. And I come out of better. And I went after someone whom I truly love. And if he was on the air, I'd tell him that now. Because I know it's political how he supports him. And I believe that God expects for me to stand up for righteousness no matter who says it, Republican and or Democrat, black or white, young or old. If my mama comes up with something crazy, I'm going to rebuke her too. It ain't personal.
Okay, let me ask you. I need to ask you a question because I've never heard this from the conservative Christians. What are the sins of the Republicans?
Greed and the sins with everybody else. Power.
Okay, what else? Give me a couple more.
But what? There's all of them. They all the same. Republicans, Democrats, put them in a bag, shake them up, pull them out. I promise you're going to get the same thing.
Sister, just answer that specific question.
I did.
What are the sins of the Republicans?
Greed and power.
You're the first one I ever heard admit that Republicans have any kind of sin, according to what I hear from most of these.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't blanket this show. And tell me I'm one thing and I'm not. This show is all about making sure that we're empowered for growth. And when I say that, I'm not talking about black folks, white folks. I want it all people. I work inside the Republican Party to make systemic change because I'm called to it. I believe in the fundamental values of the... I'm just telling you. And so
I
said it out loud. You can call up down in Columbus and tell them I said it. It's the truth.
Tracy, if I...
Are you making changes in the party? I've heard, absolutely, I make more changes in the party than most people know.
I don't quit.
I'm not called to quit.
I'm called the pastor inside of politics. And I tell them they're just as crazy on that side as I do on the other. And if I'll call out Blake, I'll call out a Republican.
Tell me some change you've been able to affect.
Give me one second here. Pastor,
hold on, Matt. Matt,
I just,
reentry.
I just
go ahead, Matt.
I,
I just want to say to the good pastor, you really, I would really like to have a, because we're almost at the end of the day here, and you do come up with some very polarizing discussion. You need to call back again in the future and call back earlier, because you've raised some good points, and this is really good discussion. It's what America needs to hear through both your opinions, through our opinions, and somewhere in between, the answer lies. I guarantee that.
Okay. That's a good
sound. I'll just say this.
Yes, South Carolina. Hold on, Pastor. Hold on, Pastor.
I'll call. I got to go. Can't stay.
Go ahead. I love you.
I'm gonna say this. I'm just so glad that Jeff ain't there. If he's listening on the phone, he's about to jump through the radio box right now.
I was going to say, did you hear that boom? That was his head exploding.
Listen, I have to tell you guys, the internet went down here. So I have no control over who's – I have no idea who's calling in. I have no control. I have no controls over anything right now. I'm just doing this blind because the internet went down here in the studio, so all I have is you guys and me.
You know, Jeff said that happened yesterday.
I know Jeff has called in already, and I know he's sitting in the wings. It's a wonder he hasn't blown down the street doing 90 miles an hour.
Tell him to call my phone. I'll put him right on the mic.
Tracy, I've never heard of abortion explained that way. I've never heard that. So that's a new. If that's how they're explaining away the support of the Democrat Party, that is a distorted way.
It's a poor way of doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed him, too, just because of where he was coming from. I think he – there's something that was very he had his own way of coming about things. I've never heard before some of the arguments that he brought forward. And I thought that was very interesting. And that's why I said, you know what, man, you got to call in the beginning of the show, and there's got to be 3 hours with that, because I'd really like to get down to the areas he's been – to what churches he's been to what other pastors he knows. I would really like to know where that mindset comes from, because
let me tell you Matt, I can tell you where that mind comes from.
Go ahead.
That mind comes from trying to find a scripture to make an excuse for unrighteousness. And I mean, seriously, I mean, I'm not saying this because a Republican, the Democrat, what I'm saying is you can find a scripture to analyze anything. You can make the Bible, if you choose, you can manipulate the scriptures to say whatever you want it to say. That doesn't mean that it says what it says. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And you can manipulate words. And when I say all unrighteousness is wrong, anything that is at... But we need to also understand that we need to quit. What we're not doing is we're not standing up for unrighteousness. Racism, no matter where it comes from, is wrong. Greed is wrong. All of it is wrong. But when you kill as many babies as we kill in the black community, and when you start saying that the new normal is two men and two women together and it's all right, and we don't say anything against it, and then we support the person who is down the poster boy for it, and we don't say anything wrong, you know something's wrong. And we need to just own up to that. Something's wrong with that picture. And we're not saying anything. And so, yeah, I can find a scripture to say that, you know, you can do all that kind of stuff, but that don't make it right. And I called it like I saw it. And when I called out the churches of conduct, they supported their platform. And as I said earlier, people can believe what they believe. But you ought to be able to change what you believe when you have that kind of force. 98%, and you can't make them pull that out of your platform? What kind of mess is that? How do you have 98% of anything and you can't control what's inside of your doctrine? So that, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'd love to have him. I want him to call back again. But that's some crazy stuff. And I'm not going to call foolish. I'm not going to call it right, because it's not. Absolutely not right. Because right now we got young people believing that it's okay and it's normal for two mommies and two daddies to be around, and it's just like, that's just the way it is. But then we got the same thing is going on. We say that you can get divorced because I no longer like the color of your hair. The same thing as we go ahead and if you can shack before you can shack up and start making babies before you get married, and then go have to pay to take care of them.
And if you don't want to take care of them, just drop them off to the government and go make some more. All of it's wrong. Yeah, it's a little old-fashioned, but it's still wrong.
Well, old-fashioned is where we need to get back to.
Heck, we might as well go back to segregation.
I've heard a lot of people say that it could be a good idea.
If it'll get us back to family and get us back to morals, then, yeah, we might need to go back to that. Because right now we have nothing.
I don't know. I like what you know what you were talking about when you came back in this hour. As far as speaking, you know, not segregation, but it considering racism an obstacle, and I like
it
that instead of a crutch, and that is exactly what it is, and it really is on both sides to some extent for white people, it's the same.
It's all
thing.
Over. It's all over. When I listen to, I mean, yeah, you can tell the color of my skin, and yeah, it's different than being a white person, and yeah, it's different than being a woman, and all that kind of crazy stuff. And, but those are obstacles that you have to overcome. But nothing in life is easy. Nothing worthwhile, that's what I was told.
That's
unless
true.
I missed something.
No, that's the truth.
That is absolutely amazing, though. I had never heard of that. That one really... I don't quite get it.
I get it.
I had never heard that before, Tracy. Never.
I'm gonna get kicked out the church next week. You know that, right? You know
oh,
they kicked me out, right? You know,
already,
you know I just lost. You know, I just lost all my invites.
Oh boy.
Well, guys, we'll be back tomorrow.
Huh? You don't think they're going to kick you out for sure, do you?
Yeah, you know. They might. I might lose all my cookies. Absolutely. Listen, guys, I got to go. I got to go home. I got to go home and nurse this cold. Hopefully I'll be better tomorrow. I appreciate all of you guys. Have a good evening. We'll see you tomorrow. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Tomorrow's open mic. Who knows where we're going to go because, you know, today went someplace I had no idea we were going. See you then. God bless.
Hey, Sal, stick around.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with on Newstalk 600 WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.